is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! What a great run! Fires down the middle. It is intercepted by Micah Hyde. Intercepted! Tre Day! Tre'Davious White! He's in trouble. He is sacked. Jordan Poyer came unblocked. It is Jerry Hughes who brings him down. What a big play there! Poy, much to the right. Outrunning everybody. 10, 5, touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Just another Friday in Orchard Park. Are you kidding me? It's not another Friday. Good afternoon. Welcome to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones, here in our One Buffalo studio and the front end of the AdPro Sports Training Center. In the back end, on the other side of that wall right over there that you can't see, Buffalo Bills on the field for practice today, the Friday practice before the big AFC wildcard game, the Bills and the Jacksonville Jaguars at 1 o'clock. Donald, I ask you this. We're keeping an eye on the media viewing portion of practice today. And not to say that this is the last game the Bills will play this year. It very well may not be. But in your career, when you're out there on the Friday before what could be the final game, whether it's regular season or postseason, it's got to be somewhere in the back of your mind. Like, are we ever going to be doing this again? Is this the last time with this group? Especially, what, Fridays more so than Saturdays?
Yeah, Fridays especially because it's the last time you're – Saturday is just a walkthrough. It's like a glorified walkthrough.
Right.
So Saturday, you really don't care. You know you're about to – you're playing an away game. You know you're about to get on a plane. So that doesn't really matter. But Friday is that day. It's the last real practice. Even though it's a shorter practice, it's the last real practice. And so for right now, because you're in the playoffs, you don't know if it's your last practice or not. You hope you hope that it's not your last Friday practice. You hope, man, we get to practice on Friday again. I remember talking to a couple of guys who actually played in the Super Bowl, and they talked about once they got the Super Bowl week, they were so tired of practicing. Like, man, I am tired of practicing. I'm tired of all of this stuff. I just want to get to the game and get it over with. But you truly have about 2 weeks of practice.
Yeah, for
before
the Super
you
Bowl.
Get to, yeah, before you get to play a game. So I think these guys right now are just – they're out there working hard, and they're soaking it up.
Yeah.
You know, let's just continue to get these Friday practices. If we are, that means we're doing something right.
I've been around way too many regular season finales that didn't mean anything in my career. Way too many. There have been times – not every year, Donald, but there have been times when that last Friday practice, when you know the season was going to end Sunday, there were times when it was almost an emotional practice for a team on the Friday.
Oh, yeah. Because you know you're not going to see some of the guys you won't see again on an everyday basis like that because their contract situations or whatever it is. Some guys might not play football again. You have some guys that might be back. You don't know what's going on. You change coaching staffs, things like that. I remember when my last year here as a player, that last Friday practice, we actually had a meeting. Chan had already got word that he wasn't going to be coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And so we actually sat down as a team and we talked about it, you know, before practice, before the last Friday practice. And it was like, man, this is our last time together with the coaching staff, with the players. And so that one was emotional. When it's meaningless, it really sucks.
Well, there's fraught with meaning today's practice, and we're going to deal a lot with what goes on out there today. Keep you posted on the Bills and their Friday practice before the wild card playoff game. We're here until 3. Lots of time to do, and what a guest lineup we have assembled for you here today. Our producer, Jay Harrison, and staff put together a great lineup, trying to find guests that we think are pertinent to the wild card game at hand. Couple of looks back at the Bills, you know, their glorious history in the past, and a couple of looks forward to Sunday's game. All of that coming up today on the show. Let's give you the lineup. In just a couple of minutes, Mark Kelso, radio analyst, former Bills safety, will join us on the line to talk about the matchup. He has done his deep dive into the Bills and the Jaguars, getting ready to do the broadcast with me on Sunday. We'll talk with Mark Kelso about that a couple of minutes away. Bottom of this hour, Mike Mayock. You know him probably from his work around the NFL draft with the NFL Network. He is also a former color analyst on NFL Network broadcasts of games themselves. And he's going to be in the radio booth for Westwood One Radio this Friday. Mike Mayock will join us at 12:30 to talk about the Bills and the Jaguars, his take on that game. I think we plan on sliding in a few draft questions for Mike Mayock
you
as
have
well,
to.
Right?
That's you have his, to. That's at his, least the quarterbacks. Yeah. Everybody wants to hear about the quarterbacks.
That's his kitchen, man. That's what he does.
Exactly what he does.
Yeah. Mike Mayock at 12:30. 1 o'clock, Greg Cosell, his normal Friday spot with us. I consider that one of the best segments we do all week. Greg Cosell.
Yeah, he gives us a lot of insight
yeah.
for every game, but especially the games that we have. And now that he doesn't have a million games to really think about. He only has the playoff teams. I'm sure he'll be dialed into the Bills and the Jaguars.
Yeah,
so he can give us a lot of insight.
He'll give us the complete breakdown. Greg Cosell from NFL Films and from ESPN's NFL Matchup. He's coming by at 1 o'clock. At 1:30, he's a longtime favorite of Bills fans. We thought it was appropriate to touch base with Chris Berman, Boomer,
Boom.
From ESPN, the longtime Bills backer, and see what circling wagons metaphors he puts together for us here today. Chris Berman will join us live from his home in Hawaii coming up at 1:30 this afternoon. 2 o'clock, you know what we do Fridays at 2. We let Donald and Lorenzo Alexander go at it. I just sort of stay out of the
way. I wonder if we're going to go at it. He's focused. I don't want to take his focus away from the game, you know. You're right. We're about to go at it, baby.
Yeah, can't wait.
Let's do this.
That's another one of my favorite segments, the Lowdown with Lorenzo Alexander.
I hope that's not the last one. See, I'm about to get emotional.
Yeah, well, let's get through it. We'll get through it, and then you and Lorenzo can hug it out.
Yeah, we'll hug it out, and Lorenzo, maybe next Friday we can go at it again.
And then coming up in the 2 o'clock hour as well, Coffee with the Coach, Chris Brown with Bills head coach Sean McDermott. So we got a lot of ground to cover. We got a lot of things to talk about, and we always want to engage you. The lines are open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Or you can do it via Twitter at John Murphy Show. Twitter poll is up. You're welcome to comment on that or anything else you want to talk about. So we look at this matchup, the Bills and the Jacksonville Jaguars. If the Bills should beat the Jaguars on Sunday, which Bills position group do you think will play the most prominent role, the biggest role? If the Bills win on Sunday, which position group do you think will get the credit for doing a good job? What do you think it is? Right now, we've got the Twitter poll up. Right now, we're getting incredible response. Almost half of you, 45%, say the position group, the Bills' defensive front against Leonard Fournette, will play the most prominent role, the biggest role. 26% of you say the Buffalo offensive line, opening holes for, who knows, Shady McCoy or somebody else, and protecting Tyrod Taylor. 22% say defensive backs. Maybe you're anticipating an interception or two against Blake Bortles on Sunday. 7% have something else in mind. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. Phone lines open, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. If the Bills beat the Jaguars Sunday, which position group do you think will play the biggest role? I think the early returns, I'm on board with that, Donald. The defensive front for the Bills, D-line, linebackers, you got to do something about Leonard Fournette. And he hasn't been sensational the last couple of weeks, but he's been very, very, very good throughout the entire season. Great combination of size and speed and elusiveness. He is a factor in the passing game. He is the guy you really got to – if you get takeaways from Blake Bortles, good. That's really good. But if you can just kind of slow down Leonard Fournette, you got a good chance of winning this game, I believe.
See, I think it's defensive front because of, yeah, you need the first, you need to stop Leonard Fournette. We know this is the number one rushing attack in the league. We know they want to run the ball. They don't want to truly put the game on Blake Bortles' shoulders. So first, you need to do a good job of stopping Leonard Fournette. Make sure he doesn't have any big plays. Make sure that you're tackling he and Ivory out of the backfield. The second thing is they need to be able to get pressure on Blake Bortles. Once they stop Leonard Fournette, now it's time they have to pass the ball because they can't run the ball. So now you need to be able to get pressure without sending so many different blitzes. So the defensive line, defensive front are big in terms of importance in this game. They need to have a great game this week. Kyle, the rest of the guys up front, Jerry, all of those guys, I want to see those guys in the backfield making plays. This needs to be one of the best games that they've had this season.
The two teams in the NFL that run the ball more often than anybody else, number one, Jacksonville Jaguars. Number two, the Buffalo Bills. Of course, that's what they're both going to lean on this week, right?
Oh,
the
yeah.
Jaguars know that they want to run Fournette. The Bills know that they want to run the ball, hoping that they get a chance to run LeSean McCoy. These two teams, on a percentage basis, run the ball more often than anybody else in the NFL. That's why I think it is the biggest factor. A couple of tweets on this already on the question of which position group will have the biggest role to play in a Buffalo victory. Zachary Meredith tweets in, "We stop the run and force Bortles to throw, and we will win this game." Here's a tweet from at JagFan. "Get ready for the Leonard Fournette show. You're going to be missing Darius." Two different issues there. I think we're talking about getting ready for the Leonard Fournette show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they'll miss Darius. I mean, he could make plays. He's a very talented player. He is a little bit more than a role player, maybe, I guess. You know,
they have a rotation.
Rotation. He's a healthy rotational guy.
So he's a healthy rotational guy. But I'll tell you this. I mean, number 95, Avery.
Yep.
Avery Jones.
Yep.
Is a good defensive tackle in there. Yep. Number 95. So as everybody's thinking about defensive linemen, you need to look at Calais Campbell, number one, and then Avery Jones. Those are two guys that they need to make sure they do a good job of. Marcel will be in the rotation, and he'll come in, and I'm sure he'll be amped up for this game, and he'll try to make plays. But ultimately, those guys that I just talked about are the ones that you have to pay attention to.
All right, what do you think? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. If the Bills should win on Sunday, which position group do you think will lead the way? We're moments away from checking in with Mark Kelso on this, but give us a call. Let's give you the update of what's going on out there at practice before we get to calls. LeSean McCoy is going to give it a try today in practice, according to head coach Sean McDermott. McDermott said, quote, we're going to see him do some things. We're going to go from there. McCoy, of course, with an injured ankle from last Sunday. He is giving it a try today in practice. We'll get the official practice report later on today. Linebacker Matt Milano, this Bears watching. He will not practice again today with his hamstring. Hasn't practiced all week. McDermott's quote, it's going to be a challenge, his quote, for Milano to play at Jacksonville. Ramon Humber would be ready to go if Milano can't go. Cornerback Sharice Wright out of the game already, still in concussion protocol. Limited in practice today for the Bills. Wide receiver Kelvin Benjamin with his knee. Tight end Charles Clay with his knee. Wide receiver quarterback Joe Webb with an ankle. Wide receiver Deontay Thompson with a shoulder. But the big news, LeSean McCoy giving it a try in practice. We watched the media viewing portion of practice. You and I earlier today kind of looked like what he did yesterday. And all we saw was the stretch, but he was kind of bouncing around in stretch, right?
Yeah, he was bouncing around in stretch. And that's a good sign.
Yeah.
The biggest thing is if he's going to give it a try, how much of a try is he going to give it? What are they going to ask him to do in practice? How much he's going to go in practice? We probably won't find that out until later on
hopefully
today.
Before we go off the air with the injury report, right?
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully we'll see exactly how much he did in practice. But then once you get through practice, then you have to figure out how he responds after that. And then you get through the flight and how he responds going through a flight. And there's still so many steps to this thing that you just have to wait and see. But the fact that he was out there moving around, they're going to give it a try, that is a good sign. Because coming out of Sunday's game, I said to myself, I don't know if he can play next week. Yeah. I mean, just the pain that he looked like he was in on the field, him slamming his hands down on the field, crying, being taken off on the cart, you just didn't know if he would be able to go come next week. And now it looks like things are moving in the right direction.
Your thoughts on the game, give us a call. I got a call here to start us off from Jim in Orchard Park. Go ahead, Jim. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hi, Phyllis. How you doing?
Okay.
Hey, listen, I'm so – that was going to be my call today. I'm so glad you're bringing Chris Berman back.
Boom.
Being on the radio with you because he was such a Bills backer, a big one, and it was always, you heard, circling the wagons in Buffalo. Great guy, good supporter for the Buffalo Bills. And the other guy I missed too hearing is Paul McGuire. When he did the commentaries and he did the games, he was always good for a couple of laughs. He had a big history on Buffalo also.
Yeah.
I'll just hang up and listen to your comments.
Thanks, Jim. Yeah, we're looking forward to talking to Berman. He's sort of the, I don't know what you would call him as far as a
he's
Bills.
He's like an honorary Bills
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, he's an honorary Bills guy, right? Berman, I mean, for being around as long as he was.
Yeah.
Looking forward to catching up with him. I don't believe we've talked to him on the show here since last summer, maybe last spring, right?
Can I just say, I mean.
You can.
The ESPN Sunday Countdown Monday Night Football shows without him are just different.
I know.
It doesn't even seem right.
Well, look, I was going to mention this to Boomer, and we will when he joins us at 1:30. I agree with you, though, and I don't get a chance to watch ESPN Sunday Countdown that often because of the timing. Last Sunday I did because of the 4 o'clock game, 4:25 game. And, look, I'm a big Samantha Ponder fan. I think she's great. I even think Rex does a really good job on that show. But there's something missing, and it's Chris Berman.
Yeah.
And you need – is he over the top? Yes. Is he full of baloney? Yes, he is sometimes. But he that was his show.
That was his show.
That was his show.
He had the personality.
Show. Yes.
You know, as a host, he had that personality and everything
and
that he did. I missed the Swami segment that he did. I wish we could get him to do a special segment of the Swami on the show today. But, man, it just doesn't seem – and Randy Moss, Charles Woodson, those guys are good.
Good. Yeah,
and they bring some personality, but it's just not the same without Chris Berman.
All right. Hey, this guy is not a Swami, but he's got a pretty good line on how this game might play out. He does every week. He's part of our radio broadcast team on the Bills Radio Network, color analyst on the Bills Radio Network, longtime Bills safety, and he joins us right now on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, our buddy Mark Kelso. Mark, good afternoon. How are you doing today?
I am splendid, guys. How are you guys doing in Orchard Park?
Yeah, it's cold here, Mark. You're down in Carolina. Have you reached double digits temperature-wise down there yet?
It was 10 this morning, so they were reeling here in North Carolina. There's no question; they're not used to that kind of cold, but things have been okay, and yeah, we don't have to suffer through that that single digit. I think it was down to zero in Western New York this morning, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. On my way here in the car, zero at about 8:30 this morning.
Yeah.
Nice. Hey, Mark.
He said nice.
Nice. Not about weather, obviously, this Sunday. But tell me your thoughts on the conditions that could affect this game. Not weather conditions, but what do you think are the big factors for the way this game might go on Sunday, the Bills and the Jaguars?
Well, there's a lot of really good players. I mean, I've been a fan of this Jaguar team for a couple of years, and on the defensive side of the ball, I think it kind of starts with them because there's a number of statistics that they're the top in the league at, and completion percentage comes to mind. I mean, they really play tight man coverage, and they're really aggressive. They have a great pass rush. I mean, they got guys all across the board that can rush the passer, and then they'll move guys around, and they've got corners that can cover, and they've got linebackers who understand angle of entry and can really get to the outside shoulder of those offensive linemen trying to execute some blocks and make a lot of plays. And I think it starts with that. And then on the offensive side of the ball, it goes through that offensive line. I mean, they are big and towering on that offensive line. It kind of looks like you're walking into the Sequoia National Forest in Northern California here when you go to Jacksonville, and Fournette is a one-cut guy that's got great explosiveness and really good contact balance and great speed if he gets to the open field. They're not real elusive. And then Bortles has played, I mean, last couple games hasn't been quite as sharp, but has kind of managed some games and has really put together a nice year for himself. So, this team is on the rise and back to the playoffs now and a team that it's going to be a formidable opponent, but make no mistake about it. I think the Bills can win this game, but I think it's going to hinge on two or three plays late in the second quarter, early mid-third quarter, and whoever makes those two or three key plays is probably going to come out victoriously.
Hey, Mark, I know everybody, when you talk about the Jaguars, you talk about Leonard Fournette and you talk about the defense, especially the defensive line and linebackers. Their defensive front is very good. Now, the question is, do you think that they will play Tyrod Taylor the same way? I mean, they play quarterbacks this year where they can truly just pin their ears back and tee off on the quarterback because he's not as mobile. Do they play Tyrod Taylor the same way? We've seen teams actually not play him the same way, not rush up the field like they would typically do.
Yeah, I think they'll be a little bit concerned about it. But, you know, I mean, it's the old adage, you got to dance with who brung you when you're talking about the high school dance, right?
So. Yeah.
That is their strength. I mean, they get into threes and nines. Those defensive tackles sometimes outside the offensive guards, and then the defensive ends way outside, and they are bringing some pressure. Now they may run some stunts. I think they may offer a spy situation because they do play that 51 backer when they'll play man on with a free safety, and then they'll bring a backer, and then the other backer's coming up inside and is going to take the back if he comes out of the backfield. So. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, I do think they'll pay particular attention to him because there's situations when Tyrod's ability and his improvisational skills can certainly be an advantage for the Bills' offense. But I don't think they're going to change things too much. They have guys that they bring all kinds of pressure up front, and they got guys that can just play. And, I mean, Calais Campbell is really tough. I mean, he'll line up a defensive end. He'll slide into tackle, and then they'll bring Dante Fowler in, the third-year player out of Florida, and he'll rush from the edge as well. And how do you pronounce that name, John?
Ngakoue.
I mean, he is – he has a motor on him that just won't quit. He's unbelievable and uses his arms so well. And then they've got power inside with Jones. And then those linebackers are running free to the football, and they really understand. We talk about it. I talk about it all the time, don't I, about angle of entry and making sure you're attacking the correct shoulder. And those guys do it as great, as good as any combination in the league with Paz Leslie, Miles Jack, and Talvin Smith. I mean, those guys really, really play well as a unit. And on the back end, they've got guys that can cover. Jalen Ramsey's as good as it gets. And A.J. Boye is a guy that covers extremely well. And they get guys down in the box. I mean, everybody does their job, and it's a team that really kind of lives with that defensive strength that they have and then running the football. I mean, they're leading the NFL in rushing, right?
Yep.
And a team that's, again, a team that's kind of poised, a team that I thought last year or 2 years ago was kind of on the rise and think it was a, you know, that was the job to take if you're going to be a head coach. And and think Coach Marone recognized that as well, because that team really has a lot of talent and a lot of young talent.
Hey, Mark, I've been thinking a lot this week about the Bills-Jaguars game from 14 months ago, late November in 2016, right here in New Era Field. And I distinctly remember you and I really singing the praises of Telvin Smith and Paul Posluszny as two active linebackers who were all over the field making plays. They're still doing it. In fact, Telvin Smith might be better now than he was 14 months ago.
Yeah, and I, you know, I watched a couple games this year. We had some common opponents with Jacksonville and Posluszny. I just love the way he plays the game. He understands things. He lines up, and we talk about it again at the right depth, because he's 5 to 5.5, sometimes 6 yards, so he can take that proper angle. And when he steps up to mirror that running back, and both he and Telvin Smith, and then they realize it's a play-action pass, which I do think there'll be a lot of opportunities for the Bills in a play-action pass game this weekend. But now they're going to turn, and they're going to find that crossing receiver and get themselves up underneath that inside hip. And then Miles Jack just continues to get better. I mean, there are times when they'll take Posluszny off the field, and
yep,
he's had an outstanding career, but they'll take him off the field and use Miles Jack and Telvin Smith and then bring in their nickel package. So he's the guy that they take off in certain situations. And probably Posluszny at this point in his career, again, he's just had an outstanding career and kind of led that defense since he's gone down there to Jacksonville. But he's not going to be covering Charles Clay. There's no question
right
about that. I mean, if guys are coming out of the backfield, or Michael Tolbert's coming out, or DeMarco, he may be covering those guys. But that's the guy that still plays at a high level. But they're not going to want him in coverage in certain situations. But they play a lot of man, and then they'll sink back into some cover three. But there's some opportunities if your receivers are willing to block. There's some opportunities in the misdirection as well, the way they set their front. They typically get five guys on the line of scrimmage. They don't play with a nose tackle, but they play with a shaded defensive tackle. So he may be on the outside shoulder of Eric Wood in a particular alignment, and then they'll bring Miles Jack or they'll bring Telvin Smith down on the line of scrimmage. So it's really a five-man front, and then they'll get Gibson or Church in the box as well. So it's tough to run, so you're going to have to be content, I think, and understand schematically that you're going to have to really consider play action pass on first down to give yourself some good first down production.
Mark, we've been talking about Jacksonville's defense. What about Buffalo's offense? And in particular, what does the Buffalo offense look like if LeSean McCoy either can't go or is severely compromised? What do they do on offense?
Boy, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they do. I do think they need to get in some situations that are going to defeat some man coverage, because I think Jacksonville will be even more aggressive with their man coverage situation if, in fact, LeSean McCoy can't play. Because if he plays, they've got to get extra guys down into the box. So now you don't have the help from the safety position that you might enjoy otherwise if those safeties can stay back a little bit. And that's not to say that Murphy and Michael Tolbert couldn't cover that, couldn't handle that load, but neither one of those guys are LeSean McCoy, and he would obviously depreciate the Bills' offense quite a bit if he's not available on game day. But they're going to have to find themselves in situations where they're moving a lot pre-snap, getting themselves in stack positions or in cluster situations where they can create some early separation in the down, and Tyrod's going to have to be on the move some. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo really, really executed the bootleg pass against these guys really well in a number of times, hurt this team down the field with being able to execute that bootleg and getting really deep when he comes out of maybe a stretch play fake and then comes back to the other side. I mean, he's 9-10 yards deep in that backfield, and that's what Tyrod has to consider as well. How's he going to escape that outside rusher in that situation? So can they execute in those situations? Can they open up with a play-action pass and then be able to pound the ball inside or kind of on the edge? I don't know if they want to pound it inside. And I think there'll be some opportunities, but it'll make it much more difficult if LeSean McCoy is not available. Even if he is available, probably won't be 100%. But I'll take LeSean McCoy at 85% any day of the week.
Might have to.
Yeah, right. Hey, Mark, what about this Jacksonville offense? What does this Bills defense need to do to stop that running game to begin with?
Yeah, well, it's power. I mean, just like you need to stop LeSean McCoy, you need to stop Fournette. And they're going to run it and run it and run it again. And then they have some play-action pass opportunities. They do a lot in the middle of the field with their passing game to have different levels in the middle of the field, a real shallow receiving option about 4 or 5 yards from the line of scrimmage right between the hash, and then a deeper option, whether it's whether it's from a deep four cut or a dig, or whether they're just running the hook route. And then they'll line up in trips and run some games over on that trip side, but they'll run off on the backside, and sometimes they'll just take a shot on that backside and try to catch you sleeping a little bit, or figure the safety's leaning to that trip side, and they're going to find a way to throw the ball over to that single receiver side. And Bortles has been good. I like the way he's played. I think he gets a little frustrated with pressure. When his feet aren't set, his accuracy suffers quite a bit, like a lot of quarterbacks. So you got to figure out, but you got to pick your poison, because some of these guys, you know, the guys that have been playing of late, the Keelan Coles and D.D. Westbrook, those guys, those young guys have been playing a lot as well. And then you got Lewis at the tight end position, and O'Shaughnessy's had a lot of good snaps as well. But those young guys have exceptional quickness at the line of scrimmage and try to stem their routes by attacking an outside hip, which creates an opportunity to fit that ball in. And he's got good protection. I the one thing these guys do, I don't think there's some twist games and things inside that the Bills could use to effectively pressure him in certain situations, because while they're really good in a running game, it's a power running game, and they're not quite as good in space. I mean, they'll pull that guard and run a fullback lead and pulling the guard around as well, but more inside zone and those types of running plays, as opposed to trying to get guys out on the edge, because in space, these big guys aren't quite as effective.
Mark, what's the path to a Buffalo victory look like to you?
Well, I think first of all, again, let's see what happens to LeSean McCoy, but I think it's opening things up on first down in the play-action pass game, and I think, again, if the receivers are willing blockers, which I think we do have willing blockers at the receiver position, and you use those tight ends in a wing configuration, or you motion those guys to a cluster, I think the running game can have success. And then I think you need to take opportunities to take some shots down the field, because that will back off those linebackers and those safeties as well, and give you some opportunities in the intermediate passing game if they're a little bit more concerned about the vertical stretch. And I think you accomplish that by keeping extra guys in the block and using Deontay Thompson, and I know Tate has had some healthy minutes at that receiver in that situation as well. You got to get guys down the field, and then there's some personnel mismatches in the red area. But this team is, I mean, goodness gracious, like they're only giving up, you know, one out of every three trips to the red area, they're giving up touchdowns. So Bills will have to be sharp in that area. So I think in the running game, again, it's power to that cluster situation. It's misdirection to the backside. See if they can find some space up inside. And in the play-action passing game, it's that intermediate areas after those linebackers jump up defensively. You got to dedicate enough guys to the box. And I think you need to move. The one thing that Bortles doesn't do great is execute that bootleg pass. So if you're moving your defensive line and you're cutting off Burnett, and so he can't go the direction he's intending to, and the linebackers are stepping a little bit to the opposite side to take up that cutback lane, which he'll try to hit as well, now I think you limit him. If that running game gets going, they're just going to become much more formidable. And if they get up by 10 or 12, then they're going to hunker down and run the football and play really good defense. So you can't allow them to get a lead. And we all know how you do that and how you intend to do that. But the Bills have been outstanding those first 10 or 15 plays of the game, particularly when they're scripting that stuff and they understand some of the weaknesses that the defensive unit of Jacksonville has. And they've got to cap off one of those early drives with some scores. And then pace seems to hurt this defense a little bit, because they try to move guys around a lot when you switch or you pre-snap move offensive personnel. So get up to the line of scrimmage, get the ball moving, and have a few series when you're running with some pace, and see if you can wear them out or create some confusion pre-snap.
Hey, Mark, thanks. We will see you down there tomorrow. Thank you very much for joining us here today.
Yeah, looking forward to it, guys. Have a safe trip and enjoy the rest of the show. I enjoy Chris. I'd like to hear him, too.
Okay. Yeah, he'll be with us at 1:30. Mark Kelso on the line with us from Carolina. He'll be down there in Jacksonville calling the game with me on the Bills Radio Network. Sal will be on the sidelines, the Bills and the Jaguars. 1 o'clock kickoff, 11 o'clock a.m. network pregame. Mark joined us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway, eat fresh. Also on the radio Sunday, the Westwood One crew, including Mike Mayock, who is the NFL Network's draft guru. He's going to call the color on Westwood One, and he'll be joining us next to talk about the Bills and the Jaguars. Come on back for that. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hey, Bills Nation. Chris Kelsey here, former Buffalo Bill. I just wanted to take a quick second here to congratulate you on making it back to the playoffs. It's been a long time coming, but very well deserved. I'm extremely happy for you. Coach McDermott, your entire staff, all the players, and the best fans in the NFL. I'm so happy for everyone back there, especially around One Bills Drive. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention my buddy Kyle Williams by name. Proud of you, pal. Glad you finally made it. And I look forward to you guys finishing this thing off right. Go Bills.
Chris Kelsey, all the way from Nebraska, chiming in on the Bills' entry to the 2017 NFL playoffs. John Murphy, Donald Jones from our One Buffalo studio. We've got the call of the game on WGR Radio and our flagship station on the network. But the game is also broadcast nationally, as you might expect from a national wildcard playoff game. And part of that broadcast crew joins us right now. You know the name, you know the face. He's a longtime face of the NFL draft on the NFL Network. He is an NFL Network analyst, draft expert. He'll have the call of the game caller on this Sunday's game in Jacksonville. Played defensive back in the league with the New York Giants. Happy to have Mike Mayock on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline with us. Mike, John Murphy and Donald Jones here in Buffalo. Thanks very much for joining us here today. We appreciate it.
Are you kidding me? My pleasure and congratulations for getting back to the playoffs. That's awesome.
Yeah. Were you surprised? I mean, going into the season, did you think the Bills looked like a playoff caliber team, Mike?
You know, what's interesting is that I'm a big fan of your head coach, Sean McDermott. I grew up in Philadelphia. My dad was a high school football coach in the Philly area. I've seen Sean McDermott for a long time. You know, he coached with the Eagles for about 12 years, I believe.
Yep.
And, you know, I watched him closely in Carolina. So I think he's a guy that has a plan. He's always had a really calm confidence about himself. He's got a plan. I think he's really honest with his coaches and his players. And even though he's pretty much a tough guy because he's so honest, I think that transcends everything else. And I think what you see is a really sound, well-coached, fundamental football team. And are they a year ahead of schedule? Maybe. But, you know, it doesn't surprise me because I'm a Sean McDermott fan.
You know, it's interesting, Mike, because when they made the moves back in the summertime and traded Sammy away, traded Ronald Darby away, everybody thought this team was tanking. And so what was your thoughts at that point when they made those moves?
Well, again, because I know Sean a little bit, Sean's not a tanker. That's not going to happen. What Sean does want is his kind of locker room and his kind of commitment and his kind of consistency on a day-to-day basis. So even though Ronald Darby left, you know, E.J. Gaines comes in, who's his kind of player. You know, and then you get the kid from the Eagles, the wide receiver who's been hurt.
Yeah.
But again, he's a consistent, tough football player who was highly productive in Philly. So even though he made the moves and you're losing more dynamic players for more kind of consistent players, I think the fact that you're also getting draft picks on top of it, never once in my mind did I think Buffalo was tanking. But I think what they're both looking at is he and his general manager are what's best long-term for the Buffalo Bills franchise.
Mike, speaking of draft picks, and we know that is an area of expertise for you, how about the 2017 Bills draft when you look at Tre'Davious White? And there's some major contributors here, Tre'Davious White and Deion Dawkins, and Matt Milano has started games right down the line. What's your analysis now in retrospect about the Bills draft from last April and how they performed this year?
Well, I think they've done a great job. And, you know, you look at Tre'Davious White, he's obviously a potential candidate as a rookie of the year. He's played real good, solid football the entire season. You know, this Deion Dawkins kid, I saw him closely at Temple. I wasn't sure whether he was going to be a right tackle or guard, but he's played better at left tackle than I expected, although I think his upside is more as a right tackle or guard down the road once you get your left tackle back from injury next year. I think they've done and by the way, Matt Milano, you know, I went to BC.
Yeah.
I watched a lot of that kid play. And he's what I think today's NFL linebackers are. He's quick. He's tough. He can cover tight ends. He plays special teams. I think they have a plan. I think the head coach and the GM are tied at the hip philosophically, and they've got a plan. And I think you saw it in last year's draft.
Mike, that's interesting you talk about the linebacker position because it does seem like we're noticing – a shift in the type of linebackers that these teams want. They want guys who are quick, guys who might not be as big, but they can run, they can cover guys. Milano, we know, played safety, converted. You see a lot of guys with the conversion from safety down to linebacker.
You really do. And, I mean, if you look at Jacksonville, you know, obviously Paul Posluszny's been there forever, but Miles Jack, another one of those guys that can run. He can come off the edge. He can play special teams. He can cover the pass. Kelvin Smith, same thing. He's got a body type of a safety. I'm even seeing, Donald, guys around the league that were corners in college that I thought might be nickels in the NFL are starting to become free safeties. Why? Because, you know, you want them in the middle of the field, but you also want to be able to drop down and cover a slot. So with the emphasis on pass in the NFL, I think we're seeing more and more of that at every position across the board on defense.
With Mike Mayock, NFL Network draft analyst and expert, also going to be on the call of the game on Westwood One Radio this Sunday for the Bills and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mike, give us your thoughts on that number two-ranked Jacksonville defense, the elements that have led to their success this year.
Boy, they're really good on all three levels. And, you know, you can. It's one thing to look at their statistics and say, yeah, you know, they're number two in points allowed per game. They're number one versus the pay. You go all the way down their defensive statistics. But when you put the film on, that's what, to me, tells the story. And up front, you know, Calais Campbell obviously is a candidate for player of the year on defense. And what I love about him is he can play inside or outside. So in base, he's outside. You know, they get their sub package, and all of a sudden he's an inside guy. And then they can bring in Ngakoue and Fowler off the edges. Malik Jackson's another inside guy. If they get you one-dimensional in the pass game, it's all over. And at the linebacker position, we talked about them a moment ago, but, you know, Jalen Ramsey 2 years ago was my number one corner, and boy, has he played well. They signed A.J. Boye, Colvin and Nickel. I believe they've got playmakers at all three levels, and they're playing with a toughness and intensity on a snap-by-snap basis that they may not have in the past.
You know, Mike, this game is interesting. As we're talking about linebackers and how this game is changing, emphasis on pass, it seems like this game that we're about to watch on Sunday, this first matchup, is like an old-school football, high school football type of game where strong defense, run the ball.
It's funny because I'm an old guy, and watching the film of these two teams brings me back to, like, the NFL in the 80s. It really does. I mean, they both teams want to run the ball. I mean, Jacksonville ran the ball 527 times this year and threw the ball 527 times. You know, and they want to get after it in the run game and take the pressure off their quarterback. Buffalo, number six in the league in their run game, they want to run the football, play action, let Tyrod use his legs a little bit. So I look at this game, guys, and either team really has a dynamic passing game. So, number one, will they take opportunities to throw the ball on first down off play action? I think that's their only opportunities for chunk yards in the pass game, because you're not going to get it on third and long. Now, I think hidden yards are critical. Penalties, special teams, and then turnovers – every game are critical, but this one, you know, you might not get as many possessions as you usually do because both teams like to run the ball, which means the clock's going to be moving. So, you know, Jacksonville's plus 10, Buffalo's plus 9 in turnover differential. But, you know, I like the fact that your quarterback doesn't turn the ball over. You know, he might not be the best pure passer in football, but Tyrod Taylor does not turn the football over, whereas Blake Bortles, if you get him in a passing game where he's got to throw the ball, he will turn it over. So I think you're right on with that. Both teams want to run the football, but I think a lot of this comes down to, can you make the other team one-dimensional by stopping the run, and then which quarterback makes good plays and which quarterback makes bad plays.
Last thing, Mike, before we let you go, you brought up quarterbacks. Folks here have already started to think just a little bit beyond the end of this season and into next season of the quarterbacks out there in the draft pool right now. Is there one that you think might be a particular fit for Sean McDermott's team or for the Buffalo Bills?
Well, I think it's too early right now because I don't know anything about the kids. I've watched a minimum of three game tapes of all the top quarterbacks so far. And, you know, for instance, you know, Josh Rosen is a beautiful thrower of the football. That kid's just a natural quarterback. I don't know a thing about the kid. The USC kid's taken a lot of heat from the other night, but he was up against the best defensive line in the country and a former NFL defensive coordinator, and they didn't have the pass protection scheme to handle it. So, and the kid from Wyoming is just a huge upside. You know, he's 6'5", 240, and has a great skill set, but is very, very raw. You know, so you can go right. Baker Mayfield is better than I thought he was. I spent 4 hours watching film of him about 3 weeks ago, and I went, wow, he's got a better arm than I thought. He scrambles to pass, not to run. And then the Louisville kid is the wild card, Lamar Jackson. If you think Michael Vick was special back in the day, this kid runs as fast as Michael Vick, and his arm is just as whippy. So, John, that's kind of a long way of saying that I'm not trying to match up kids with teams yet, but it's really an intriguing quarterback draft.
Yeah, we got a long way to go till that. We got a big game on Sunday. We will see you there in the broadcast area. Mike, thanks for spending a few minutes with us here today.
My pleasure. Good luck, and thanks for having me.
Okay. Mike Mayock from the NFL Network, their draft analyst and analyst overall. He'll have the call of the game on Westwood One Radio. He'll be the color analyst on the Westwood One Radio Network nationally for the Bills and the Jaguars. And Mike joined us on the Subway Fresh Tank Hotline, Subway Eat Fresh. Donald and I back with more with some news on Micah Hyde when we return. Come on back to John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Congratulations to all of the staff, Coach Sean McDermott. I know I always knew you had it in you. To his entire staff, to the players, way to rise up, man. You guys kept pounding, bro. Like, that's good stuff, man. You did something that, you know, a lot of guys who came before you tried to change, but we couldn't. But I just want to say congrats to everybody, even to everyone in the city of Buffalo. You deserve it. Enjoy this thing. Enjoy it. Look forward to seeing you guys play in the playoffs.
TKO Spikes, you know that voice. TKO on the sending his well wishes along, and our thanks to him for doing that. Our producer, Jay Harris, did a great job rounding up all those celebrity
he did.
Things.
He's the man.
Yeah. Jay, good job. Really good job. It's great to hear those guys.
I'm just reading some as we talk about, like, Pro Bowl snubs. So the safety, Harrison Smith for the Vikings.
Yeah. Were we talking about Pro Bowl snubs?
No, we were talking about it when the whole Pro Bowl thing came out.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So he is not going to the Pro Bowl, but he's first-team All-Pro.
That's weird. Micah Hyde is second-team All-Pro. That's the news we wanted to give you. Micah Hyde, 2017 Associated Press, second-team All-Pro. He's going to the Pro Bowl. Mm-hmm. We were talking during the break about how Jordan Poyer is right there alongside of Micah Hyde, though, in terms of effectiveness, I would think. Poyer's success, a lot of it has come recently, though, right, with a couple of picks in recent games.
Poyer actually, he's quietly had a very good season. Early in the season, he was making a lot of big-time plays, a lot of pass breakups. He was making sacks. He had a couple of sacks early in the season. And then his plays came quietly after that for a good amount of time. And then lately, he's made a few more interceptions and caught up to Micah Hyde. But as you were saying, the Pro Bowl voting was just too early for Jordan Poyer.
On Twitter, we're asking you about this Bills game on Sunday. How do you think it might play out? And if the Bills should win, if the Bills beat the Jaguars on Sunday, which position group for the Bills will play the biggest role, the most prominent role? On Twitter, almost 4,000 votes in. That sounds incredible. But 46% of you say it'll be the Bills' defensive front trying to handle Leonard Fournette. 26% of you say it'll be the Buffalo offensive line. 21% say the defensive back. 7% say something else. Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550, or via Twitter. Mason calling from Southern California. Hello, Mason. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing today?
All right. Really well. Thank you.
I'm 32 years old. I've been a Buffalo Bills fan since I was 5 years old. Never been more proud than what happened last Sunday. I was just, I've had a smile on my face all day. I can't get rid of it. I've been watching some of the old Jacksonville games, and to bring up what Kelso said earlier, I noticed they do. They run a lot of in routes right over the middle of the field, and, you know, with a perfect pass, hitting those receivers in stride, they can be really difficult to defend against. And maybe you guys might have some intel on what we can do to defend that, because that seems to be a large portion of their pass offense.
To defend the middle of the field in the passing over the middle. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. We were just talking to Mike Mayock about Milano And he's been dealing with that hamstring this week. He's huge in that part of, of the field and covering a tight end like Mercedes Lewis and any of the receivers that they want to throw it to over the middle of the field. You know, you have the safeties, and those guys are good at what they do. They can cover. They can obviously they're ball hawking. They both have, what, five interceptions.
Yep.
But you need those linebackers to be able to cover as well to shut down the middle of the field. So it's going to be interesting to see, number one, if Matt Milano, what's going on with him, and number two, how they actually stop that that passing game over the middle of the field.
Thanks for your call. We're going to break for the top of the hour, and we got a lot coming up on this show. Bill Cowher is going to join us. Remember him? The Jaw, Steelers, former head coach from the NFL on CBS. Bill Cowher scheduled to join us in the 2 o'clock hour today. He is here doing interviews, getting set for the weekend of broadcast from CBS, and we're going to get the coach in here, Bill Cowher, coming up in the 2 o'clock hour. We got a good next hour, too. Chris Berman joins us at 1:30. Yes, that Chris Berman. Greg Cosell coming up next. Greg Cosell from ESPN's NFL matchup and from NFL Films to break down the Bills and the other wildcard games. Plus your input at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550. Come on back. John Murphy Show presented by NEPA Auto Parts live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
The update comes from One Bills Drive, where the Buffalo Bills wrapped up practice about a half hour, 45 minutes ago. LeSean McCoy was going to give it a try at practice today. Head coach Sean McDermott said he wanted to see McCoy try to do some things, and then he said, we'll go from there. McCoy trying to bounce back after injuring that ankle last Sunday against Miami. Matt Milano, outside linebacker, rookie, did not practice today with his hamstring, and McDermott said it's going to be a challenge to have him ready to go at Jacksonville. Ramon Humber ready to play if Milano cannot. Cornerback Sharice Wright already has been ruled out of the game on Sunday in concussion protocol. Calvin Benjamin, Charles Clay, Joe Webb, Deontay Thompson, all limited in practice today. The Jaguars have injuries to keep an eye on as well, although wide receiver Marquise Lee reportedly is practicing today. He has not practiced all week with his ankle. Bills safety Micah Hyde has been named second-team All-Pro by the Associated Press. Seven Jaguars offensive linemen are going to have new jewelry because of running back Leonard Fournette. He bought the starting offensive line and a couple of reserves Rolex watches as a gift for helping him rush for 1,040 yards as a rookie this season. Bills and Jacksonville, 1 o'clock kickoff at Everbank Stadium in Florida. We'll be there with a call of the game, 1 o'clock kickoff, 11 a.m. network pregame on our flagship here in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550. Steelers linebacker Ryan Shazier has regained feeling in his legs, according to reports in Pittsburgh. His father declined to offer specifics, but he said he is coming around and has regained feeling in his legs after his spinal injury December 4th in a Monday Night Football game against Cincinnati. Louisville quarterback Lamar Jackson has declared for the NFL draft after a record-setting career at Louisville that included the Heisman Trophy a year ago. Sabres lost last night to Minnesota 6-2, looking to rebound tonight on the road at Winnipeg. That's an 8 o'clock face-off. Meantime, also tonight, it's the championship game and the World Juniors Championship. It is Sweden and Canada for the gold medal, 8 o'clock tonight at KeyBank Center in downtown Buffalo. That is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones here until 3 o'clock today. We got Chris Berman coming up a little bit later on in the show. Bill Cowher scheduled to join us. Lorenzo Alexander will stop by for the lowdown. And one of our best parts of the show every week is the minutes we spend with our next guest. He is the host and analyst of ESPN's NFL matchup, longtime senior producer at NFL Films. Happy to have Greg Cosell on the line with us. Greg, hope you're staying warm down there. It's John and Donald up here in Buffalo, and I know where you are down there in the Philadelphia area. It's pretty chilly as well, huh?
Well, Murph, I know you grew up in the Buffalo area, so we're used to cold. I grew up in the Northeast as well, but this is a little beyond the pale. This is a little much.
Yeah, nobody wants to get used to this, by the way, no matter how long you've lived in it.
No.
Nobody likes this. Hey, first things first, are you surprised that the Bills, and you've chronicled with us every Friday their ups and downs this season, are you surprised that they find themselves in a wild card playoff game on Sunday afternoon?
I would say yes. I mean, if you asked me before the season if I thought the Bills were a legitimate playoff contender, I probably would have said no. With a new coach, putting in new systems, I'd be surprised. Although I think I told you last week that I thought they would beat Miami and then the chips would fall where they fell. It's funny how we're talking about this, because if Baltimore had won that game, the year for Buffalo wouldn't have been any different, obviously, and they wouldn't be in the playoffs. So, but hey, that's the first step. You got to get there for the first time, and it's really good.
One of the lessons, I think, to be learned from this, Greg, and you can speak to this because of all the in-depth film study you do, you don't have to be a perfect team to make the postseason.
No.
You can be flawed. The Bills, I don't think anybody would argue the Bills are a flawed, maybe even a very flawed team, but there they are, one of the 12 left standing.
Well, it's funny. I was having this exact conversation with Lewis Riddick after we shot our matchup show this morning about the Bills and what some of their deficiencies are, and then understanding how you have to play to your strengths to try to and minimize your weaknesses. And I think that this coaching staff has done a very, very good job with that. Not every team that makes the playoffs or even goes deep in the playoffs, if you look at recent history, has a Hall of Fame quarterback. You know, again, it's always easy to say, and you're going to hear it certainly with Buffalo. You'll hear it with Minnesota with Case Keenum. Well, you can't win a big game with Tyrod Taylor. You can't win a Super Bowl with Case Keenum. Well, that's an irrelevant statement. The fact is you now play these games and you play to what you have and understand what you have and you play to the strengths and you minimize your limitations.
Greg, if that's the case, I mean, you could say the same thing about Jacksonville with Blake Bortles. You know, that would be, if you could think of a flaw on that team, I guess he would be the number one flaw, as he will give you some balls.
Well, Donald, you're exactly right, because there's a perfect example where Tom Coughlin and Doug Marrone came in, they analyzed their team, they drafted Leonard Fournette, and they basically went to the old school profile, which you can always win games in the NFL with. Run the ball with power and attitude, play really good defense, ideally have your quarterback not turn the ball over, and you can compete and make the playoffs, win a division. It's irrelevant, you know, whether we say, oh, well, the division wasn't good, or that becomes irrelevant. You're playing in that given season to win that year. But you're exactly right.
What in this matchup, the Bills and Jacksonville, there are similarities between their approach, particularly on offense, right? Can you talk about some of those, Greg?
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately you have both teams want the running game to be the defining feature of their offense. Now, we know that Jacksonville drafted Leonard Fournette just for that purpose. They had the second most first down runs in the NFL this year. That's the way they start their offense. That's their profile. And then they try to work off that. They certainly want the run game to help set them up in normal down and distance situations, because Blake Bortles is near the bottom of the NFL as a third down passer. So they certainly don't want to be in third and longer situations. Buffalo, I would say, is very much the same in that regard. That's why I think the McCoy situation is going to be interesting. Although I will tell you this, guys, I studied Marcus Murphy coming out of Missouri. I've watched him this year when he's gotten a chance. And for short term, that kid's got some juice now. I mean, we're not talking about a 16-game season carrying the ball 20 times a week, but I think that kid's got some juice, and he's a pretty good receiver as well.
You know, you actually stole my thunder there, Greg, so thank you about that. But it also seems like against in that last game against Miami, they started to use Mike Tolbert downhill a lot. And that's something that a lot of people have been asking throughout the season. He was going sideline to sideline. He was going a lot more downhill in that Miami game.
Yeah, and who was it that he trucked? He ran over someone. I forget which Miami.
It was Lawrence Timmons, I believe.
Yes.
It was Timmons. You are correct. He just trucked him on a 15-yard run. But, yeah, he's you know, Mike, he's built like a bowling ball. He's 235 pounds. Another guy that, if you had to use him in a game like this, it's the playoffs, and he carried 9, 10, 11 times, he can be effective short term. So we'll see. I mean, look, I've always loved LeSean McCoy ever since he's been in Philadelphia. I think he's one of the most overlooked, really good backs in the league. So obviously you'd like him on the field, but even if he is, he may not be anywhere near 100%. But I don't think they will deviate much, guys, from their approach. Do you? I don't really see them. Look, they're not going to go into this game and say, hey, Tyrod, we're going to drop you back 45 times. That's not going to happen.
With Greg Cosell, host and analyst, NFL matchup on ESPN. You can catch that show over the weekend on ESPN and ESPN2. The approach of the Bills and the Jaguars on first down. I know you've done particular study of Greg. Can you talk about that, what they do offensively on first downs?
Yeah, particularly I've done that, Murph, with Buffalo, because I've always liked what they've done in the pass game on first down throughout the season. I think they have some really nice pass game concepts when they are in base personnel, whether it's the fullback DeMarco, whether it's two tight ends. They use Tyrod with boot action. I think they have some really nice concepts. And I actually did a piece on that in this week's matchup show where I showed two plays from their last, I guess it's their last two games. And I think that that's something they have to do. It doesn't mean throw it every first and 10, but I think they need to do some of that, because my sense is that's the their best percentage chance to create some explosive plays. I don't think if they get in third and 9, they're going to be creating a lot of explosive plays against this Jacksonville defense.
As you talk about this Jacksonville defense, everybody talks about the front seven of this Jacksonville defense, but the back end is pretty good as well, especially the two corners.
Yeah, which allows them to pretty much play any coverage they choose. They'll play man, they'll play zone. It's A.J. Bouye, and obviously Jalen Ramsey is the one everybody talks about. But they'll play man. They've played a lot of quarters coverage over the last number of weeks, which probably makes sense in this game because then your safeties have eyes in the backfield. My guess is they won't spy Tyrod when they're in their nickel. They're a nickel defense. They don't play with six defensive backs because I think they're going to rely on the speed of Telvin Smith and Miles Jack to be able to run down Tyrod if he leaves the pocket. But, yeah, they're a fast defense. They can match up on the perimeter. And their front, their nickel front is very, very good.
I saw a stat that either yours or the ESPN matchup Twitter put up about the pressures. The Jaguars, I mean, they call themselves Saxonville, but they do pressure the quarterback, right? Second most in the NFL, 33% of the time?
Yeah, they've got two good edge rushers in Yannick Ngakoue and in Fowler. And then Campbell goes inside, and he is still a load inside. I mean, he's tough. He's had an unbelievable career, and he's still a really, really good player. Those they don't blitz a ton. They're near the bottom of the league in blitz percentage, but about 30% of their sacks do come off blitz. So when they do blitz, they're effective with it.
Now, the fact that they have so much speed at the linebacker position, because earlier in the year, there were a few teams that were able to actually play Tyrod Taylor in a way where they weren't rushing up the field. They weren't really allowing him to get outside the pocket. This team has the speed at the linebacker position where they can allow their defensive front to still rush up the field and feel like their linebackers can track down Tyrod Taylor.
I would agree with that, Donald, and I think they're going to be aggressive. I don't think you're going to see what most people call the mush rush, where they rush and sort of stop. I think that they feel that, hey, if Tyrod wants to make it a random improvisational play, more power to him. We've won the down, and our defense is going to run him down. And he's not going to run for 25 or 30 yards on our defense. I could be wrong, but I sense that that's the way they would probably go about that tactically.
Hey, Greg, you know, we don't pay much attention to point spreads here, but this one got my attention. And last time I looked, the Jaguars were favored by 9, which seems kind of high based on the seasons these two have had. And both of them, you know, getting to the playoffs. Jags won their division, obviously. But isn't it a much more even matchup than that 9-point point spread might indicate?
Well, Murph, I don't know anything about point spreads because betting is an illegal activity as far as I know.
Never mind then. I withdraw that question.
I guess I'd be surprised. I mean, I guess Buffalo, and look, you know this, you've been in Buffalo a long time. I don't think Buffalo engenders a ton of respect right now. They've just made the playoffs for the first time in a long time. I guess it was the longest drought of any team. So I don't think they engender a lot of respect right now. And Jacksonville is a division winner, although they've lost, what, two or three in a row?
Not particularly
well on offense the last number of weeks.
I guess point spreads aside, my question would be, this looks like a fairly even matchup, doesn't it, or not? Am I missing something?
It's funny. I was saying that this morning when we were just sitting around talking before the matchup show, that this is one of those fluky games to me. I think if this game is 17-13 in the fourth quarter, which is the way I kind of see it, I think Buffalo could win this game because then it comes down to a play here and a play there. I'd be surprised if, you know, again, you never know about turnovers, guys. That's or special teams, big plays. It's always hard to evaluate a game based on that. But assuming it's a relatively clean game, I'd be surprised if anybody runs away, at Jacksonville in particular, runs away from a point total here.
Yeah. Hey, Greg, what about Blake Bortles? When do you see him actually throw interceptions? Is there a point where he doesn't throw well over the middle or he's making throws to the outside? Anything there that you see when he actually throws more interceptions?
Well, I think he's still not at this point in his career a very good, what I would call late in the down quarterback, meaning the longer he has to stay in the pocket and go through reads, I think the more he struggles. I think he can throw within rhythm, within timing, as most quarterbacks can. And I think they've done a good job for the most part this year defining a lot of reads and throws for him. so he can do that. But I think one of the reasons he struggled on third down is then the defense usually has a tactical advantage, and you've got to make more difficult reads, tougher throws. I think he's still not there yet in that regard. And but the one other thing you got to be careful about, Donald, with him and Jacksonville, is he can run, and he can run by design. They do zone reads, and he's been effective, and he can also run improvisationally. So that's something you do have to be careful about.
We're on the line with Greg Cosell, host analyst of NFL Matchup on ESPN, longtime senior producer at NFL Films, talking about these wild card matchups. We've gone over the Bills and Jaguars. Let's walk you through some of the other of the games this weekend, Greg. Tennessee at Kansas City starts things tomorrow, 4:35. What kind of a chance do you give the Titans in this game, and what do they have to do to get an upset of their own?
Yeah, it's been tough with the Titans. Their offense has really, really struggled, both run game and pass game. And it'll be Derrick Henry again. And they want to start their offense with the run game. They play a lot of multiple tight end sets. Henry has not shown at the NFL level that he's very good in tight, confined space. And the more tight ends you play and the tighter your formations, the more people you bring into the box to defend the run, he's not shown the ability to be effective in confined space. But this is the way they've played all year. So I'd be hard-pressed to think they're going to change it. So it puts a burden on their O-line. I think their O-line is going to have to move people. I would look for more double teams. I'd look for ways to do that because that's the way they need to play.
Now, what about this Kansas City team? I mean, there was a point where everybody thought they might not even make it into the playoffs. It seems like they've kind of tightened things up, turned things around. What did you see in this Kansas City Chiefs the last couple of weeks?
Well, they've gotten their offense a little bit back on track. Kareem Hunt, I think, is obviously only had one carry the last week. But prior to that, I think he had three or four consecutive 100-yard games. So they've gotten their run game back on track. He's a really good back. You know, here's a perfect example, guys, of how size and power are not the same thing. Hunt is actually a more powerful runner than Derrick Henry. And he's probably 30 pounds less. But their offense, they hit a number of explosive plays in the pass game through great pass design. I think Kelce and Tyreek Hill are the critical guys. I think you'll see the safety Kevin Byard matched on Kelce. I think you'll see Adoree Jackson match up on Tyreek Hill.
Greg, here's the matchup. Other than the Bills that I'm most looking forward to watching tomorrow night, Atlanta and Los Angeles.
Yeah.
In particular, Steve Sarkisian and Matt Ryan against my buddy Wade Phillips. I can't wait to see how this plays out tomorrow night.
Yeah, to me, that's going to be fascinating. The Falcons have been very up and down on offense this year. I think you'll see Trumaine Johnson travel all over the field with Julio Jones because their other corners are 5'10 and under. That'll be a good matchup as well. The Falcons just have not been able to have many games this year where their run game and pass game have been good at the same time. That fusion that was so good a year ago with Kyle Shanahan has been lacking this year. But any team that has good players like that, this is a game that really intrigues me. If Atlanta hits on all cylinders, they can still put up 30 points.
Wow. That should do it, I would think, right? I know the Rams are explosive, too. No?
You would think. You would think. I mean, if you're going to score 30 in a playoff game, you'd like to think you're going to win it.
Now, what about the late Sunday game, the Panthers and Saints? You know, the NFC playoffs, it's really hard to predict anything over there. You have so many teams that have been traditionally good, teams that have been good this year. That matchup right there is interesting to me as well.
Yeah, now, of course, New Orleans has beaten Carolina twice this season, scoring 30 points both times. I think the Alvin Kamara factor is interesting, but I would really look to the other side of the ball. I think the Panthers are really a mystifying team to analyze on offense because Cam Newton can be very, very dangerous, but he's very unpredictable. He misses a lot of throws. He scattershot, but he's the reason their run game is fourth ranked in the NFL, so you've got to defend that. But as a passer, he's so unpredictable that their passing game is really not a dimension you can count on.
Greg, let's get you back to the Bills and the Jacksonville Jaguars, the game that we're most interested in here, obviously. If the Bills were to win, what do you think would be the factor? What is the thing they have to do in order to come out on top on Sunday?
All things being equal, I think somewhere along the line they're going to have to create some explosive plays on offense. I think they'll struggle against this defense trying to go 9, 10, 11 plays, which is why I think first down passing is so critical. And I think defensively, and this might be cliched, but it is certainly true in this case, given the opponent, I think stopping the run in normal down and distance situations is absolutely critical. if Fournette starts running and gains 5 yards, you know, because Fournette's the kind of runner, guys, and you'll see it. It looks like he's gained 2 yards, and you look up, and it's 2nd and 5. He's that kind of back. And, you know, if that keeps happening, that makes it tough.
That would be tough. Hey, great. Thanks for this. We will talk to you next week. And who knows? Maybe we're talking about a Bills-Patriots rematch this time next week. It could happen.
Well, that would be unbelievable, guys. Yeah. The third time. That would be fun. That would
be fun. Thank you, Greg. Greg Cosell, host analyst on NFL Matchup on ESPN. You can catch that show over the weekend on ESPN. Senior producer at NFL Films joining us on the line. And a lot of good insight into what to expect, especially when he talks about the first down approach of the Bills, what they have to do on first down. And I mean, even Jacksonville's offensive approach.
Yeah, we've heard now Mark Kelso say it. We've heard Mike Mayock say it. We've now heard Greg Cosell say they need to be effective on first down passing the ball. So I'm going to believe all three of those guys.
That's enough.
Take them at their word, and this Bills team needs to do a good job on first down. Obviously, with the play action pass, that's what they like to do. Even if Tyrod is in the shotgun and he's faking the faking that type of option look, he needs to do a good job of completing passes and being defiant with his throws on first down, because you don't want to get behind in downs against this defense. You don't want to do that. You don't want to have a 3rd and long. That's when they're coming. They're coming after you. If you end up in the 3rd and long, you might as well just run a draw and hope that you can pick up a few yards and punt it away at that point.
Yeah. Hey, let's hear from Sean McDermott, who talked about this matchup earlier today with the Buffalo media. As far as McCoy, LeSean McCoy gave it a shot at practice today. McDermott said he wanted to see what he could do. He'll go from there. Probably an update coming as far as the official injury participation update later today. But if he can't go, or if McCoy is limited, what about the backups, Marcus Murphy, Mike Tolbert? Here's what head coach Sean McDermott said when he was asked about how much faith he has in those backups to LeSean McCoy.
You never replace a player like LeSean. I'm not going to sit up here and say that, you know, we've got that, check that box, we've got that, you know. But this is why we coach. This is why we build the depth and part of Brandon's, you know, weekly pursuit of finding the right players, maybe not as starters, but as the next group of starters. So, you know, and the coaches do a phenomenal job, and the players have really bought into that approach of everyone's got to be prepared to play. If it's a practice squad player, he could be called up as late as Friday into the weekend, so he's got to be prepared. So that's really goes back to the whole overarching philosophy of accountability. You know, a part of it is discipline, but the other part of it is making sure you're ready to do your job when called upon.
Sean McDermott talking about, you know, I don't know how this is going to wind up, and I do think it's going to be a true game time or approaching game time decision. But if I had to guess, Donald, I would guess that the Bills might, you know, take a look at today, see how McCoy, you know, maybe how he feels tomorrow, and then give it a shot, see if he can last. I mean, we're talking about most likely a compromised LeSean McCoy going into this game, especially in the parts of his game, cutting and, you know, jab step and making a move the other way. Really the integral parts of his game. That's going to be tough to watch, right?
That's the most important part of his game. And it is hard to play the way he plays. If Leonard Fournette has the same type of injury as LeSean McCoy, they wouldn't worry about it as much because he wants to go downhill and try to run you over. But LeSean McCoy wants to cut. He wants to juke you. He wants to reverse field on you. And if he's not that same type of back, you won't be able to see that stuff from him. So we've actually seen games where, and he talked about it yesterday, we've seen games where he wasn't 100% and he felt like he hurt the team. But you know, LeSean McCoy is a guy who is going to want to get out there on the field. He's going to want to give it that all that he has, and we'll see if he's able to do that on Sunday. But this is going to limit him to actually running downhill a little bit more.
Sure.
And that's not really his style of play. He's not a power back. He's not that type of guy. So it's going to be interesting to see if he plays, how much he plays, how much Murphy plays, how much Tolbert plays. They might have to truly rotate those guys to be effective.
What do you think? What would be the key factor for the Bills in terms of which unit needs to kind of put them over the top this week? That's our Twitter poll today. Which Buffalo Bills unit, which do you see as the most important part of a possible victory over the Jacksonville Jaguars coming up this Sunday. That is what we are asking you on Twitter. We've had good response to this so far, and you can ring us up and let us know what you think as well. 803-0550, toll free 1-888-552-550. If the Bills beat the Jags on Sunday, which position would play the biggest role? Almost half of you, 46%, say the defensive front against Leonard Fournette. 26% say the offensive line. 22% say defensive backs. 6% have something else in mind. Let's get you on the phone lines and see what you have to say about that. We'll go to Tom in West Seneca. Hi, Tom. You're on the air.
John, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Sure.
First of all, I'd like to give a big thank you to Mr. Pegula for keeping the Buffalo Bills where they belong, in Buffalo, New York. And secondly, on the Twitter poll, I have to say other, but my other means all of the above. We can win this game. I'm sure that Coach McDermott has a plan for this game, and I believe in him. I think he's going to be a great coach and be around for many years. And is Kyle Williams, is he our version of the fridge? And I think turnovers are going to play a major role. And of course, in our favor, I do think we're going to win.
Okay, thanks, Tom. We've got to move along. We're going to take a break. Coming up next, Chris Berman, former host of ESPN's NFL Game Day. He'll be joining us all the way from Hawaii to talk about this matchup and the Bills in the playoffs. So come on back for that. Chris Berman, when we return, the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
What up, Bills fans? It's your boy Fred Jackson, and the drought is over. And I couldn't be more excited for the city of Buffalo, all of Western New York, and Bills fans all over the world. Let's get behind these boys, keep rooting them on. I know the coaching staff is going to have them ready. Let's keep stacking these W's and get back to that Super Bowl so we can continue to be, you know, proud of these boys and everything they've done this year.
Fred Jackson talking about the Bills, congratulating the Bills. Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones here at our one Buffalo studio in Orchard Park, where I don't even want to know what the temperature is outside there now.
No, me either.
I don't think we're at 10 yet. now I'm going to look.
Now you got to look.
I mean, you're the one who usually takes up most of the time whining about weather,
you know,
Donald.
At this point, it's just like
but I think
pointless.
I will join you.
It's pointless at this point.
Yeah. Oh, we're up to 3. Now, the weather for Jacksonville calls for a high of about 58 degrees. Cloudy skies on Sunday for kickoff, so that'll be all right. That'll feel tropical, actually, based on where we are here today. Your referee Sunday is John Hussey. Any thoughts on John Hussey?
None at all.
Which is a good thing. Right, the fact that we don't know him, he hasn't distinguished himself among NFL referees, I think that's a good thing. Bills and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Raiders will have the news conference Tuesday. John Gruden will be introduced Tuesday as the team's next head coach. Gruden already at work putting together some of his coaching staff as well. No surprise, right?
Show me the money.
Well, yeah. I guess he's not getting a
ownership stake. He's getting a 10-year contract worth $100 million.
Yeah.
He's getting paid, baby. Show me the money. How much is he making at ESPN?
I don't know. I don't know. Not that.
Not that, right? Now he's getting to come back to do what he – I mean, he's really – since he's been at ESPN, yes, he's been commentating, but we know that all he does is crunch film. That's all he does is watch film and break down the quarterbacks coming out, break down different teams. So he's really just getting back into what he really wants to do.
Yeah, but it's a different job, obviously. You know the old saying. All the coaches turned announcers will tell you they don't keep wins and losses on their ledger anymore, and that's big. He's got Rams quarterback coach Greg Olsen lined up as his offensive coordinator, Bengals defense coordinator Paul Gunter as his defense coordinator, Cowboys special teams coach Rich Bisaccia as his special teams coach. As we said, it's much easier to be in broadcasting than it is on the sidelines.
To come back.
That's right. Speaking of a guy who made his bones in broadcasting, he did it better than anybody else with the NFL. Longtime studio host for the NFL on ESPN. Started at ESPN when they got started back in 1979. Six-time National Sportscaster of the Year. Six times. And a huge Bills fan, as we all know. We are honored to have on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline with us all the way from his home in Hawaii, Chris Berman. Chris, it's John Murphy and Donald Jones here in Chili Buffalo. Aloha, Chris. How are you?
Aloha, fellas. Happy New Year to everybody. I thought you were, when I tuned in here a minute ago, I thought you were talking about me lining up my my top assistants to come and to be the coach. You know, I mean, you're right. It is a little easier to be a broadcaster, isn't it?
It sure is. I got it. Donald and I had a conversation briefly an hour or so ago, and this is going to sound, you know, like I'm sucking up to you, Chris. I am not. But I had an opportunity.
You know better than that, bro.
Yeah, you don't need that. Last Sunday, though, 4:25 kickoff in Miami, so I had an opportunity for maybe the second or third time this year, which I don't normally get, to watch ESPN, you know, the pregame show, NFL Game Day. Look, I love Sam Ponder. I think she's great. I think Rex does a heck of a job. But, Chris, that's your show. I miss you on that show, and I'm sure I'm not alone in that feeling.
Well, I miss doing it. I mean, I thank you very much for it. I think they've done a really good job. Remember, they went back from 2 to 3 hours, which I did once upon a time, and that's not that easy, even when you're doing the whole league, not just, let's say, the Bills pregame and dabbling in the others. It's not easy to go back to a medium game for the third time, you know what I mean, and hold everybody's interest for, you know, all 17 weeks. I think they've done a really good job. They've tried to make it different a little bit. And, you know, it's like, I don't want to say that I'm any great quarterback or whatever, but let's say, and I would never compare myself to Jim, let's say, but, you know, everybody and all the teams, you know, since, let's just say, Jim Kelly retired with the Bills are being compared to, well, remember when he was running it and the offense was this or that. Times change, people change, and so I appreciate being missed. I miss the action. I miss the fellas. You know, I work with, not Rex, obviously, but I work with all the others last year, and I enjoyed the hell out of them, with Randy and Matt and Charles. I mean, and of course, Morton Schefter, a longtime friend. So I miss it, but, you know, times change. I did it almost 40 years, and doesn't mean I don't follow football, doesn't mean I don't love it. I didn't leave because I lost any interest, Murph. I left. I mean, 40 years is 40 years, right?
Right.
So, but I get to watch this from afar. Now, question, let me put one to you guys, you and Donald. Has all the excitement 5 days now in Buffalo, coming from almost nowhere, not that you didn't go into the day knowing the Bills could make the playoffs, but myself, I actually thought Baltimore would win, Tennessee would lose, San Diego, L.A., you know, the Phillip Rivers, let's just do that, and the Chargers would be in, and although I thought the Bills would win in Miami, which they did, that it would be another yet, we're tied for the wild card, but once again, it didn't make it. So I didn't really forget the percentages. I didn't think it would line up for the Bills to get in. So my question is, in these 5 days, how much of the snow and ice has the excitement heat melted things?
You hadn't melted much with it being 0 degrees here today. But I think you would excite fans a little bit more, Chris. And one of the things that I miss from you actually being on ESPN was the Swami segment. So can you give us a special edition of a Swami segment for this week?
Well, sure. I mean, I don't know that I'll have all the bells and whistles.
You don't need it. You don't need it.
Bring a bell. I'm sure I could find a bell here if you give me 30 seconds. So on the Bills game, you know, we don't know about Shady, although I think he'll play, but Donald, you know, is playing, and Murphy. I mean, Shady McCoy is a unique talent. And although Jacksonville's defense is the – I went to see the Jacksonville-Seattle game, you know, less than a month ago, so I've seen them. And they played really well then. And, by the way, Bortles played really well then. So I saw them at close to their best. Not – since then, they've not been, you know. But let's just go to the – if McCoy is – if Shady is – and they're going to key on him anyway – so if he's not a 100-yard gamer, let's say he's just, they have to watch him no matter what, but he comes up with running and receiving 70, which the Bills can win with that, but it's not, oh my goodness, he had 130 yards, and therefore Buffalo is a different team. I think you all agree. I mean, he's weapon number one and 1A. So if he's compromised, which you would be closer to it than me, are the Bills relying on Tyrod Taylor, Russell Wilson Jr. in that aspect with the feet, not run for 70 yards, but just at the right time, third and six, no one's open, get seven, and move the chains, even if it results in a punt to a better field position. I'm not looking for necessarily seven first downs all the time. If the Bills can play that pace, and not a frenetic pace, which they don't, I think that actually is good for them. Although Jacksonville on paper, offensively, their players don't alarm you, they can score quick strike, but if you make them go a long way, I don't know that they have. I know Fournette, and they lead the league in rushing, but the last month, not so much. In other words, what I'm saying is if Jacksonville plays a good, not great game, and McCoy is good enough, I mean, rather than analyzing both sides of it, which you guys will be better at than me because, again, you're much closer to this, I think it's a game Buffalo can win. Now, it's going to be very – so I would definitely – the Swami would definitely say Buffalo with the number, if you will. I mean, if that is your Swami pick, will they win the game? I really think they can. I mean, I really do. I think – well, you tell me, if Tyrod Taylor plays – see, I watched the whole New England game a couple weeks ago, right? So anyone who didn't watch that whole game and looks at the final score, go, oh, God, they're not even close to a playoff team. They get hammered. Oh. I didn't see that at all, and I'm not even going to the call, which was a joke. I saw a team that really was right with them on the road in a tough spot, and a team that Coach McDermott has playing with a lot of poise. And I think the poise will serve them well. Jacksonville can get off the track sometimes, you know. They're excitable, even though Tom Coughlin is there, and we all respect Tom. By the way, how did the Giants do, and how did Jacksonville do? You connect the dots for me, okay? I know he's not coaching. I get it. So the Swami pick of it, I take 5 minutes, which is what I did on the two-minute drill every time. Anyway, I'm going to take the Bills to win by a point. I don't know what. I mean, 20-19, it's got to be in there. Once it gets a little more, I don't know. What do you know on McCoy? Of course, it's Friday. What do you guys know on Shady? He's going to try, right?
Yeah, he gave it a try at practice today. No post-practice participation report yet. I'm anticipating they'll describe him as limited, and I actually think this is one of those rare cases where it actually will go down to a game-time decision, despite the fact that everybody seems to want to get a jump to that. So we'll see. Hey, Chris, you made mention a minute ago of you know, the excitement melting the snow here in Buffalo. I got to say, you must feel a piece of that. And I was thinking, you've always had your finger on the pulse of this fan base, an extremely loyal fan base, and it seems to me people in Buffalo are prize loyalty. You have remained loyal to this franchise throughout that 17-season playoff drought. You must feel pretty good about that drought being over and this team, this franchise, being back in the postseason.
I do. I by the way, I do know Coach McDermott some. I don't want to overstate it, but because he came from Andy Reid, and you may or may not know, Andy and I are very close. I have utmost respect for him when he was working for Andy long before he got to Carolina. So, and he's run, and by the way, he has respect to people around the league, and so nothing that's happened this year in particular has surprised me in the way, even though on talent level, here's Darius over here, although we know, you know, what issues were. Here's Watkins over here. You know what? We're molding it this way, not my way or the highway, but we're doing this. So I think they've played with class. There was not retaliatory, you know, in New England. So, yes, back to your statement. I respect, you know, I'm up there enough with Jim's golf tournament and this year a couple other times, Bill Munson, big send-off for him, a roast, which was fun in late August. I get up there, you know, and I respect that the fans aren't despondent each year when, oh, we didn't make the – every September everybody comes back to the home games, and every airport I go through, Murph, I get stopped. Can I just say we're from Buffalo or we're from Rochester or we're from, you know, it's somewhere else in Western New York. Thanks for staying with us. And what I've told everyone is, look, we got all century. We got a lot of time. Don't get upset with it. And so we clearly made it easily into this century, right, Murph?
Yeah.
I mean, I understand. You know, it's actually now that the Bills are in, kind of cool that of all the four leagues, they were the longest. You know, the only one not in the 21st century to appear in the playoffs. And now, rather than a despair, I look at it as a feather in their cap. Like, they, darn it, they tried anyway.
Oh.
And this time it kind of, this time was kind of a hole that wasn't there for the back. And then all of a sudden, there was a hole, right? In week 17. Is that a decent?
Yeah.
I just didn't see it adding up.
No.
Did you?
No. No, but I don't know if I'm ready to have you try to tell me the 17-season playoff drought was a good thing. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
No, not at all. But now that it's
I still have
old,
scars, Chris.
It's okay. Like, no, we weren't the third-to-last team to make it this century. We were the last because I think that the Bills, the arrow is moving forward however the game at Jacksonville goes. I think there's going to be a pretty good foundation there,
yes.
And I like it. I like it. There's a lot of pluses on this team, as you know, and who, Kyle Williams and Eric Wood. That photo, I mean, or that scene, which you probably were in there, Murph,
yep.
Or Donald. I don't know if you were down in Miami. I mean, that's really cool. I know both of those guys, and they embody the Bills of the past, even though obviously they didn't play with those teams. But they kind of are. They embody the we're going to keep trying 100% anyway, and let's see what happens, despite how many knee surgeries or how many disappointments. I think of those guys embodying how happy everyone is up there. I'm just happy for all the people up there. I just love that. That all of a sudden, come the very end, after the game was over, there was complete reason to be up, you know, and way up. And I'm thrilled for everybody. I think they have a – now, if Jacksonville plays a really sharp game, this is going to be really tough. Don't you think, fellas?
Yeah.
I really do. Yeah. But I don't know that they will. I don't know that. Let me put it this way. The percentage of winning – this game, I think, is much greater than the percentage last Sunday morning of getting into the playoffs. I mean, we all agree on that, right?
I would agree with that. That's right. I would agree with that.
And I do think there's some strengths that play that way. I mean, I think the offensive line, which will need to be great, right, Murph and Donald, is one of the better parts of the team. And that I don't know if it'll neutralize that front and that defense. It could be tough to move. Those two corners are really good, right? Really good.
Mm-hmm.
And it just depends if they can rattle Bortles a little and make them wonder if they can stop that running game, the Bills. Then if the Bortles scratches his head, let's see.
Yeah.
By the way, another observation. So now that the Bills are in, and I'm going to do a piece on, I think, on Sunday Countdown. We're still arranging it. I know I'm a long way away, but the Bills are in. Have you thought of all you know how Miami of Ohio is a cradle of coaches, right?
Yeah.
So here's Sean McDermott, current coach, Buffalo Bills, right? You're playing Doug Marrone, one-time coach, Buffalo Bills,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know, here's Mike Mularkey, former coach, Buffalo Bills. Tennessee makes playoffs first time in a while. Here's Wade Phillips, former coach, Buffalo Bills. Defensive coordinator of a really good team, the Rams. Well, so when the Bills make the playoffs, they don't just do it themselves. It's a Buffalo blanket, right?
That's true. You're absolutely
right.
How
about that angle, Murph?
I look for that. I like that a lot, Chris. I hope you get a chance to do that. Well, thank you very much for being with us here today. You own a piece of this with all your loyalty over the years, and let's get you up here maybe if this team keeps winning and this thing keeps going. We'd love to have it right up here in Buffalo where it's a balmy 5 degrees right now.
Yeah, I own sweaters. I come from Connecticut. Don't worry. So listen, enjoy it no matter what happens. And, you know, maybe we'll talk next week. How about that?
As
a deal?
Right. That's a deal. You got it.
And you know what? And you know what that'll mean. So, listen, Happy New Year to everybody. And stay warm and just enjoy enjoy what this is going to be. I know a lot of people are going to make the trip down there, right, Murph?
Oh, they're already on their way. Absolutely. You know what
they
it's going to
be
like.
They may never come back, right?
Yeah, they may not. They may not. Thanks,
yeah,
Chris.
I'm the only interviewer that you ask four questions, and I can take 20 minutes.
I love those. Love those kind of interviews. It's less work for me.
Aloha. Love you guys.
Thanks, Chris.
Happy New Year to everybody.
All right, aloha. Chris Berman on the line from Hawaii, where he lives. Great interview. Thanks to Chris for doing that. We're back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We can finally take that wake and chuck it in Lake Erie. I'm Chad Murray, lifetime Bills fan, born and raised, I believe, red, white, and blue with you guys. Go Bills. So proud of this team. This is the team, this group of men. Good luck in the playoffs. Go Bills.
Chad Michael Murray with good wishes for the Buffalo Bills. He's your favorite, isn't he, Donald?
He is my favorite.
Yeah, right. Really? You got the old Chad Michael Murray card? Thanks to Chad Michael Murray for doing that for us. Obviously, very animated. He's got a tough act to follow, though, with Bill Fichtner's performance. Hopefully, get a chance to hear from Bill
Fichtner.
Nobody
can. We need to talk to Bill Fichtner.
Yeah, first we need to wake him up, and then we can talk to him. Lorenzo Alexander is going to join us in the final hour of the show today. The lowdown as he takes a look at what needs to happen for the Buffalo Bills to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. Again, our thanks to Chris Berman, who joined us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. He's a little amped up, don't you think,
yeah.
Boomer?
Yeah. He can go, but I think he's excited.
Yeah.
He's excited for the fans. He's excited, obviously, to watch the game. He's like an honorary Bills fan himself, so he does get amped up. And he said he even said he might be doing
a little work.
Yeah, a little work.
It'd be great if he came up here. We'll see. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Right.
You know, it's an interesting game. We're going to talk with Lorenzo about it in the third and final hour of the show. Make sure you come on back for that. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, will come to you live from One Bills Drive. And this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
The update from One Bills Drive. Bills off the practice field about an hour and a half ago in their Friday practice as they get set for the wild card playoff game in Jacksonville. LeSean Shady McCoy gave it a try in practice today. No practice participation update yet. Anticipated that he'll be described as limited in his work today. Head coach Sean McDermott said he wanted to see what McCoy could do, see him do some things, and they'll go from there. McCoy with the injured ankle from last Sunday against Miami. Linebacker Matt Milano not practicing today with his hamstring. McDermott says it's going to be a challenge for Milano to be ready to play. Ramon Humber backs him up. Cornerback Sharice Wright already ruled out of Sunday's game. He's in concussion protocol. Limited work for Kelvin Benjamin, tight end Charles Clay, quarterback wide receiver Joe Webb, and wide receiver Deontay Thompson. We await the practice participation reports from the Bills and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Bills safety Micah Hyde has been named to the Associated Press second team All-Pro. That just happened today. Leonard Fournette has bought his offensive lineman for the Jaguars Rolex watches for helping him rush for 1,040 yards as a rookie. He ordered them last week. They are expected to be delivered on Friday. Elsewhere around the National Football League, John Gruden will be named Tuesday the next head coach of the Oakland Raiders, reportedly a 10-year contract worth $10 million. Steelers linebacker Ryan Shazier has regained feeling in his legs, according to a report in Pittsburgh. That's what his father said. And Louisville quarterback Lamar Jackson has declared for the NFL draft after a record-setting college career that included the Heisman Trophy a year ago. Buffalo Sabres on the road tonight in Winnipeg to play the Jets. 8 o'clock face-off tonight. Sabres lost to Minnesota last night 6-2. Tonight it is the gold medal game at the World Junior Championship at KeyBank Center with Sweden up against Canada. That is an 8 o'clock face-off. The bronze medal game, USA and the Czech Republic, faces off at 4 o'clock at the KeyBank Center as the World Juniors comes to an end in Buffalo with those two games today. That is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones here in our One Buffalo studio. It's Friday, and we keep going with the lowdown. Lorenzo Alexander, Bills linebacker, joining us in studio as he does every Friday at this time with the lowdown on Sunday's game. I'm waiting for the music. I don't hear the music.
What happened to the music? Yeah. Threw him off a little bit.
Trust the process in there.
There we go. There we go.
Trust the process.
And everything. You can't.
I know. I know he's waiting on this music.
Are you superstitious?
No, I'm not.
No?
Let's let the music kind of
get away from it.
Yeah.
Well, how long? When did you get away from it?
Recently. You know, I mean, I think you can't be overly superstitious because everything is not going to go perfectly right the way you want it each and every week.
Right.
So you get caught up in that, and you put all your energy and things into that, and then you in the game like, man, I didn't do that right. Damn, I didn't do that right.
Yeah.
So I just, I have my process set up, and if something goes wrong, it goes wrong, especially with having kids these days.
Oh, yeah.
Most of the time, it doesn't go the way I wanted to
go
anyway.
No routine with kids at all.
Is there one superstition or one process you really feel like is number one that you have to have, though? Anything? What you eat?
I have thrown it. I mean, I have the same breakfast every Saturday and every Sunday morning. I used to go to Spot Coffee a lot all the time in the morning. But some of that stuff I just kind of thrown out the window, like I said.
Yeah.
So things I can kind of control, like breakfast, what I eat, is normally the mainstay.
You've talked to us before on this show about your routine, which includes all kinds of treatment, and I think you go to Fort Erie a lot for treatment. That's not superstition. Yeah. That's really getting ready to play.
Oh, I have to do that. That's no moving that out the way. So I'll be back.
Ain't no substituting this.
And if you ask them where Daddy is, you call him up right now, they'll be like, oh, yeah, he's over in Canada getting stretched.
They know your schedule. Yeah. What time is it?
Yeah,
what
right.
Friday?
Yeah. Where he is.
Hey, Lorenzo, one of the things, I mean, you were right there in the thick of it Sunday, and all the euphoria about Sunday and the game that followed. How tough was it, especially as a leader like yourself, to kind of get this team grounded again and refocused again this week? Early in the week, I would assume that happened.
Well, I don't think it was as big of an issue for us as maybe the fan base, because a lot of the guys, this is a new team. You have a lot of guys that have been to the playoffs before, so they understand that, yes, we did a great thing for the city, great thing for this organization, but now it's time to reset and get into playoff mode. And you only can celebrate that win like you would any other win. And it's time to move on, get on to the Jaguars at the time, and start your preparation week, because we don't want to just – we're not just happy just getting here. We want to be able to make some noise. And I think Sean obviously always does a good job of resetting guys. We have the same work process this week. Didn't change anything up because it was the playoffs, just so guys knew how to work their routine and get ready for this game.
Like you said, nothing was switched up or changed up throughout the week. But let's just say a coach does do something like that. Does that play in a player's mind? Like, why are we doing it this way now?
Yeah, I mean, I think young guys don't know. They don't have a clue. But for me, I would have been like, I wonder why we are doing something. Yeah. I probably would have asked him and see what he was thinking, just because I'm older and just like to see why coaches do why they do versus just falling in line and doing it.
Right.
And you would ask that question? You would
not, obviously not in front of the, hey, coach, why are we, I would go, hey, coach, go, look, yeah, man. Yeah.
That's
right.
How you stick around a dozen years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, man, I don't really agree with this. Why are we changing it up? No, I would just go to his office or send him a text like, hey, what was you thinking? Just because I want to coach, not at this level, but high school or whatever, I just like to know why we do certain things versus just doing it. So when I implement it in the future, I have an explanation or a reason why behind it.
How would you say your teammates have responded to being in the playoffs and all the attention and everything?
I think we've done a great job. Just watching the film, especially defensively, putting in our scheme on Wednesday and just the progression of the week, I think there's been an uptick in energy and practice and flying around. Me personally, I'm like, I'm extra excited. Normally, I'm not this excited this early for games, but I've been here and I know what's at stake and I know these opportunities are dwindling down for myself. I mean, you just never know if you ever have this opportunity again. So just making sure I check my eyes, and making sure everything is in line, because I want to learn from my past mistakes and making sure I go out there and stay in the moment and do everything the right way and have fun.
Now, you do have a lot of young guys that are playing as well.
Right.
Rookie, second year guys that are out there playing that might be their first time in the playoffs. So how do you get them? And the lead up to the game is one thing, but once if the ball kicks off, you could have guys playing a little bit tighter because they don't want to make the big mistake.
Right. I mean, and all you can say is you got to continue to do. We got here playing a certain way. This is, I don't want to say it's not a different type of game. Obviously, the intensity is going to pick up. You're one and done, so all that is there. But you have to be mentally mature enough to understand mentally, talk yourself down, and not get into that hype. And just play your game.
Right.
And I think as, some guys are able to do that, some people have to go through it and then they learn from it. And I'm one of those guys, the first couple of times, the game flew by. Like, I don't even remember any of the playoff games.
You played in three, right?
I've played in four.
Four? Okay.
Oh, no. Yeah, three. Three. You're right. And I don't even remember any of them.
Well, let me ask you. I looked it up.
Well, yeah, because I was a practice squad
okay.
with the Panthers in 05. That's why I said that.
Twice in Washington, right. 2008, and then 5 years later, both of them losses, and once with Arizona, the loss
to the Panthers.
To the Panthers, yeah. Mm-hmm. Was it one of those games that you enjoyed the most or you felt like you contributed the most?
I don't remember.
How could you not remember?
That's what I'm saying. They flash. You're so worried about the hype of the game and winning the game that you forget to enjoy the moment while you're in it. Mm-hmm. It happens so quick versus like a regular season game. Like, I could tell you what happened on this play, this play, this play, this play. If you was to ask me after those playoff games what happened, I'm like, man, I don't know. I don't even remember the play I messed up, really.
Yeah. I mean, this is obviously speaking into the future, so you don't know until you get out into mm-hmm. the future. But do you feel like now that you're older that you might enjoy the moment a little bit more?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to enjoy. I've been kind of self-talking myself all mm-hmm. week, making sure I stay in the moment, and really enjoying this week of practice,
right.
Taking advantage of it. So when I go out there, it's not happening too fast. I'm confident in what we're doing. The game is not moving too fast because it does pick up a little bit. And just go out there and have fun and just stay on that play that I'm playing at that particular time and not really worry about what happened or what's coming.
Yeah. Speaking of enjoying the moment, and I don't want to dwell on last Sunday, but you are pretty close with Kyle Williams. And,
yeah.
By all accounts, and I was there a little bit post-game, that was a special moment for him. Did he have his boys in there with him?
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing like it. I mean, to have your sons with you, to be able to celebrate something like that, you know, he was joking around like his sons didn't even know what the playoffs were because they used to going home. So, you know, are we in the Super Bowl now, Daddy? You know, they don't even know what it means to be in the playoffs. So it's real cool to actually experience that energy in the room, kind of just the emotional release and to be able to celebrate it with your sons, that's something that you're never going to forget, you know, as a child or as, you know, as the father, in this case, in Kyle Williams. So it's just a great experience. And it was cool to be a part of it, you know, to kind of help him reach this threshold in his career. And obviously we want to go much further than just this weekend.
We do. Let's talk about this weekend coming up against Jacksonville. Lorenzo Alexander in studio with us with the lowdown. You've got your keys to what has to happen. You happen to feel that the field position is going to be critical.
Right,
in this
and
game,
let's unpack this a little bit. I mean, you say field position, you know, you just think about really special teams initially. That's a huge part of, you know, kickoff return, punt return, covering kicks. But it goes much more than that. You know, I think it goes to respecting the football, turnovers, creating turnovers, stopping them from getting turnovers. I mean, if you look at their defense, they're built on creating turnovers and going three and outs. I think they've had like 140 three and outs plus turnovers mm-hmm. this year.
Yep.
And they're creating a lot more opportunities for their offense and getting offenses off the field and creating a lack of routine and rhythm for offenses. So that's something that we have to really stay ahead of the chains. On first and second down, we can't have these penalties or, you know, pre-snap penalties that put us in first and 15 as an offense. Mm-hmm. And defensively, we have to stop them on first and second down with their run game. Obviously, they're a run-first team, want to give the ball to Fournette, ground and pound you, and then let their defense do the thing and ground and pound you.
Right.
So we have to be able to stay ahead on both sides of the ball.
You know, we talk so much about their defense and being statistically where they are, their offense and Fournette and the run game being number one in the league. But what about the special teams? And I know you focus on that, being a special teams guy. What do they have in their returners, their kickers, all of that?
I mean, Grandin 85 are really good returners. They do they're pretty simple and basic. You know, nothing outwardly outrageous, but they do have some juice, some opportunities to get out in the open and get you. So we just have to be smart in our lanes, getting off blocks and bringing guys down. I mean, if you look back to last week, they ran a bounce play where, you know, you think they're running to the right and they end up bouncing in to the left. And we had them, but we didn't tackle. So it has to be great technique in tackling. And then also we had a couple of special teams penalties as well that hurt us, which goes to technique. If you can't get in front of your guy and can't block him, don't be overly aggressive, because that field position, as we're talking about, can count dearly. You know, instead of starting on, let's say, the 25, now the offense is starting on the 15.
Right.
Playbook calls completely different.
Totally
let's
different.
Say you don't get a first down, you punt it. Now you may be at the minus 45. Mm-hmm. They get one or two first downs, they're in field goal range.
Right.
And that's how they want to play the game. They're patient. They'll take field goals. They'll grind that game out with you. And that's why it's so important that we're smart with our technique. And on first and second down, so we don't put ourselves behind and lose that field position battle.
Their approach is a little bit like the Buffalo Bills, isn't it, in terms of running the football?
Yeah.
You know,
settling
for field goals. You guys
I mean,
have
very similar teams as far as when you look at our identity and how we've won this year.
Yeah.
Lorenzo Alexander with the lowdown. What role does special teams really play in establishing field position? What do you think has to happen? Is it Colton Smith's punts that would set up you guys up?
Well, yeah, Colton, any time that we, you know, we're able to drive, you know, obviously our offense needs to get, you know, we would love them to score every
touchdowns.
Right. But if they get started, we would like them to get a couple of first downs, you know, get us around the 50-yard line of gray area. And then Colton's done a great job with this year. Pinning guys to the sideline or kicking the ball out of bounds, you know, when it's with inside the 10-yard line. So if we're able to do that, that'd be great, controlling the game that way. And then on kickoff, obviously not allowing things to get out, keeping things in front of us. And ideally, our mission each and every time we cover a kick is to get them inside the 15 if they decide to return it.
Lowdown number two, the second thing you think has to happen, early touchdowns on the scoreboard. What do you see
there? Yeah, and we've kind of been talking about this. Their team is built to play with the lead. They like the ground and pound. Defense, you know, creates turnovers, puts their offense in scoring position there where they already have a field goal, or they may even score themselves.
Right.
So if we can get ahead of them and make them pass the ball and put the ball in Blake Bortles' hands, I think that definitely goes to advantage to us. He just doesn't have the weapons that we've seen. He has a younger group. They're capable, but they're just not, you know, I think some of the other teams we've seen. So that'll definitely play into our strength. So if we're able to do that, that'll be key.
And lastly, you have something to say about staying in the moment as a lowdown.
Yeah,
what do you mean?
I kind of been talking about that already, you know, about myself, you know, just making sure that the game, that you focus on the play and your technique and whatever your job is, that given play, and not really worry about winning or losing the game. Don't even get there, because if you don't execute play to play, you're not going to reach your goal of winning the game. So focus on those moments versus the end result, and don't listen to too much of the noise outside of it.
Yeah, the biggest thing is focusing on really the next play and the
right.
next play. Because if you have a bad play, which might happen in any course of a game, especially here in the playoffs, you're playing another team that's good. If you have a bad play, don't dwell on that play, because the next play is about to happen to you, and that one might be the big one.
Right. And then, I mean, it just happens so quick. So just enjoy each one while you're out there.
Yeah.
And take it in and play loose and have fun while you're doing it.
There is noise out there. I mean, here in Buffalo, there will be noise
always.
Down in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I mean, it's just always noise. I mean, obviously, you know, with the 17-year drought breaking that, you heard that all week, the excitement of the crowd, of the fans. And it's a playoff game. And, yeah, you want that to be able to feed you and be able to play off of that and use some of that emotion. But you don't want to let that overwhelm you to where now you're overly hyped and now you either wear yourself out where you're tired or you make a stupid mistake, a penalty, or you don't communicate. You know, so you have to be wise and know who you are, because some guys can handle that. Some guys, like myself, I can't get too amped too much, because then I get tired. I'm drained, you know.
Yeah.
So let me come out there even keeled and throughout the course of the game allow your play to kind of elevate your emotion instead of feeding to the outside emotion, if that makes sense.
I figured out when I was in college that once we got to the stadium, it's something about when the buses pull into the stadium and you see it, you start getting amped up right there. And then by the time you get to game time, you're just on a decline the whole game.
Yeah, you're just exhausted.
And you're like, oh, man, I got a whole game to play, you know. So, yeah, you don't want to be too amped up. Well, some people can handle it.
Right,
I couldn't handle it either.
It happened to me my first college game.
Yeah.
Get to the tunnel, playing at home. I'm from, you know, from Berkeley area, Oakland, neighboring cities. Run out. Run down the side.
Like 2 hours
here,
before
baby. No, it's opening before we run out, you know, right before the game starts. Oh, man, I'm tired. I don't know if I can play. Man, I feel like I just did a two-minute drill. So from that time on, I was like, okay, I can't be that guy. Can't be the rah-rah guy, because I'm going to be out of it. I just can't do it.
Speaking of, you are from Oakland. You played for the Oakland Raiders. They made a big move today, they're going to hire John Gruden on Tuesday for $100 million, 10 years.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. And ownership stake, I believe, too, into the team.
I don't know if they did that. There was reports they might not do that.
Oh, really?
$100 million is enough.
Yeah.
Own something else.
Yeah. I mean, you can probably buy into the team.
He's been making good money at ESPN.
Yeah.
This dude's making a lot of money. But 10 years is
yeah, but
this
yeah, it, and it's all guaranteed as a coach, I believe, too. So, I mean, but they had to do something to pull him out the booth.
Right.
Because it's no stress in the booth. He's having fun up there doing what he loves and doesn't have to worry about the day-to-day of preparing for a team, grinding for a team, losing, dealing with the media.
Right.
So they had to make it worth his while.
Now, you got to ask now, does that change the market for coaches? When they see him, they're like, whoa.
Yeah, it does, wasn't it? It sure
I'm
would.
Not about to
Well,
take...
I mean, it does, but it doesn't. I mean, it's all about your who value you and who you are. Yeah. I mean, so if you're a first-year head coach, you can't ask for John Gruden money because you don't have his stature. Or, you know, another owner might not want you as much. It all depends. I mean, I think they really wanted him, so they had to make it worth his while, and they went after it. And sometimes you overpay, and you see that for players all the time.
Yeah.
A player get paid, and oh, okay, well, I'm about to get paid when I hit this market.
Word.
Man,
nope.
Why I didn't get that, man?
Nope.
You know, they, you know, just all about who you are and timing and all that, yeah.
The larger question, and Donald went on a rant the other day here about coaches, and I think we're talking about the importance of coaches.
Oh, yeah.
Are coaches important enough to make that kind of money to a team and their future direction, do you think?
I mean, they can be. I mean, they can make or break you. I've been around some coaches that shouldn't have been head coaches and kind of tank your season or your team. I mean, guys just can't believe in them or whatever they're doing. Yeah. And then you have other coaches. And, you know, it's a symbiotic thing, you know, is it egg before the chicken or chicken before the egg, you know. If you have great players around you or you a great coach, you know, they always talk about Phil Jackson in that light. I mean, he was with great players. Yeah. So, I mean, but I think coaches can inspire players to rise above themselves and put you in positions to win, too. So I would say, yes, they are that important. And John Gruden has proven that he's a winner and has done it countless times.
Lorenzo, thanks for doing this. Congratulations on being in the playoffs. Good luck, and we'll talk to you again next week.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I'll be back.
Thank you. Lorenzo Alexander with the lowdown in studio with us, as he is every Friday. Sean McDermott, pretty important head coach for the Buffalo Bills. He was asked today about the Bills' stats defensively. Do they accurately reflect how his defense has played this season? Here's what Sean McDermott had to say about that.
I think we've done some good things on all sides of the ball, really, all three phases. You know, we've shown, growth and improvement in all three phases, defensively specifically. I've seen us improve and just from a, you know, to start off a time on task standpoint, you know, in terms of the reps we've been able to build through this season. And that continuity is important as we move forward, that it just breeds familiarity with what we're doing and what's expected. And not only at your position, but what's going on around your position, because that's important in terms of playing great team defense.
So is it fair to say that you don't really concern yourself in terms of rankings, stats, that kind of thing? Do you look at them? Do you worry about them at all?
I do to a point, but there's some that are more important than others, right? There's some that I determine to be critical stats that really correlate to wins or losses. Those are the ones that I more concern myself and ourselves with. Sometimes you get too big into stats, and in particular the ones that really don't correlate to winning and losing, and you get carried away and given some false positives or false negatives, you know, because at the end of the day, the story is told by turning on the film and watching the tape.
Stats are important, but they don't tell the whole story. I think that's the gist of what Sean McDermott is saying. The injury report is out, and that tells a story about the Bills and their readiness for this game. And, of course, the major name on this injury board is LeSean McCoy, who is now officially questionable for the game on Sunday. Shady McCoy questionable with his ankle. As far as practice participation today, McCoy was limited. I don't think there's any surprise there. Sharice Wright listed as out with his concussion. He still is in concussion protocol. Starting linebacker Matt Milano, the rookie from BC, he is questionable for Sunday's game. He has had an ankle injury, and Milano did not practice today. So that raises some concerns there. Right tackle Jordan Mills listed as questionable for Sunday's game. Mills got in full practice today. Wide receiver Deontay Thompson is questionable for the game. He's got a shoulder. He was limited in work today. And quarterback wide receiver Joe Webb, also questionable. Webb with an ankle injury. So the non-participants in practice, Mike Tolbert is one of them, not injury-related. Milano and Sharice Rice did not practice. Limited work today for Benjamin Clay, Charles Clay, who's not on the injury report at all. Shady McCoy, limited today. Deontay Thompson and Joe Webb. Jordan Mills, full practice today. No shocks there, Donald. No surprises. I guess that's okay.
No,
huh?
That's okay. It's a list that you expect right now.
Yeah.
Wild card weekend, you're going to have some injuries. You're going to have questionable guys going into the game. We'll see how it plays out on Sunday.
And, of course, the focus will be on LeSean McCoy, questionable for the game, which technically, under the NFL's injury report rules, means he's 50-50. I think that sounds about right, too. They'll probably – again, guessing, my guess, they'll probably get him in there, see how he handles it, right? Get him as ready to play as they can.
You got to see how he responds from whatever he did today in practice, and then you got to see how he responds from the flight, and then see how he feels on Sunday morning. I mean, that's truly what it is. You have to see how he feels come Sunday morning after all of these steps that he still has to go to. I know that when they land tomorrow, it's going to be a lot of treatment in one of those hotel rooms. He's going to be getting treatment and another treatment. He might get treatment every hour, on hour.
All right, so there you are, caught up on the injury report as the Bills wrap up their practice today. Our Twitter poll today deals with this game on Sunday, the Bills and the Jaguars. We want to know from you, if the Bills beat the Jaguars on Sunday, which position group will play the biggest role in that victory? This is the all-time record for respondents to our Twitter poll, almost 5,000. 45% of you say it'll be the defensive front against Leonard Fournette. 26% of you say it'll be the Buffalo offensive line. 22% say it'll be the Bills' defensive backs. 6% have something else in mind. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550, the number to call.
I got the defensive front. I have to go with the majority here. And I know we put versus Fournette in there, but I think it's first you have to stop Fournette. That's what they want to do. They want to run the ball. If you can stop that and force the ball into Blake Bortles' hands, at that point, now it's time to get pressure on Blake Bortles.
Yeah.
He'll throw you interceptions, and we had Greg Cosell on, and he talked about him not being good later in the down, and that means when he's standing around in the pocket trying to go through his progression and all that stuff, he's not that good then. He'll throw the ball up, but they need to get pressure on him. They force him to throw the ball up, you know, and there have been times where they have gotten pressure on teams. Most recently, you can think to Alex Smith or even Cutler. You know, when they get pressure on these guys, those guys will throw it up, and you have some ball-hawking DBs on the back end that can make plays for you.
Which unit makes the difference? A couple of calls from listeners. Jerry in Syracuse. Hi, Jerry. Go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Oh, Mr. Murphy, Mr. Jones, thanks for taking my phone call.
Sure.
I've been watching many, many years, and I think that most teams that make the playoffs in the NFL have pretty good offenses and pretty good defenses. But a lot of times in the games that I've been to, it comes down to what special teams play. And I really have to say that this year I really like what I see on the Bills. The kicking, punting, all the special teams play seems to be pretty good. It reminds me of, you know, going back to the old Denver-Buffalo AFC championship game. I'd like to know what you think about that, how we match up against Jacksonville. And the only weakness that I see in the special teams play, okay, would be maybe on the hands team, like onside kick. And, you know, if you could just, you know, I'll hang up and you guys, if you could just let me know how we match up against them and what you think about that.
Yeah, I don't think it's a big advantage either way. I will say this, Donald. I think the Bills are overdue for a nice long return from Brandon Tate. He had some early on. I was just looking at the numbers. Punt returns this season, the Bills finished 12th in the league, you know, top half, 24th in kick returns. And maybe it's Marcus Murphy, you know, back there on some kick returns the other day. He's going to have a full load on offense or almost a full load, but maybe he's a guy. I just think they could get to the caller's point, they could get a big spark out of a nice long return on special teams this Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, we just talked to Lorenzo about special teams.
Yeah.
I think Chris Berman talked a little bit about special teams amongst a bunch of other things that he talked about.
Did he ramble down?
Yeah. Special teams are key, and especially because that's not something you can predict.
Yeah.
You know, you can say, okay, this offense, they can do this. They need to do this on first down. They need to do this on third down defensively. Well, we know we can get after the quarterback. You never know if you can take the ball away. That's unpredictable as well. But special teams is something that you truly can't predict. And it can truly help, like, the return game, the kicking game, all of that stuff. But especially with Brandon Tate, he's been a very solid returner for this team. Good, one of the better returners in the league. He hasn't had the big play, though, that he returns all the way to the house to change a game or something like that. I would love to see something like that in this game.
Here's a call from Matt, who is calling from Jacksonville, Florida. Hello, Matt. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
I love your show. I listen to your podcast every day at my desk at work.
Great. Thank you, Matt.
Show. I've always wanted to call in, but I've never had a chance. I thought this was a good time.
Oh, yeah, since you're calling from Jacksonville.
I used to go out for work, but I grew up like an hour from the stadium. I just want to kind of call to give a testament about all the Bills fans and how we have the best, you know, fans in the NFL. You know, we got, like, the guy yesterday calling from Alaska, you know, flying down. You got people from, like, California, Arizona, Minnesota, because I'm on a couple of Bills Facebook groups, and I'm a part of the Buffalo Bills Backers of Jacksonville. I mean, you got guys from, you know, Carolina, Georgia. There's a ton of people driving from New York. I even heard a stat that 20% of the StubHub tickets were from New York zip codes for the game. It's crazy how the Bills fans really support the team and just travel to any length to really, you know, support the Bills and stuff. And I'm actually going to be on the field holding the flag on Sunday before the kickoff, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Which flag? Which flag are you holding?
The full field American flag.
Okay. I thought maybe Jacksonville flag.
Yeah, right. I'm like, you're going to be on the Bill holding. I'm at the field holding the Bills flag. Can't be doing that.
That wouldn't
right?
go over.
American flag. I'll be right in front of the Bills bench, so I'm excited about that. So.
That's cool. Thanks. That's cool. Great, Matt. Thanks for checking in. You know, have fun on Sunday.
It doesn't shock me to hear fans travel from Alaska, travel from anywhere else because
Alaska?
I mean, the reason it doesn't shock me is because fans were traveling in the last 17 years when there were pointless games the last week of the season. You have fans traveling from somewhere else to go to the game. So now that you have a meaningful game, people want to be there. My boy called me earlier. He's like, hey, man, I'm trying to get down to the barbershop. I'm going to Jacksonville. We got to go down there and just turn up. And I'm like, oh, you're going to Jacksonville? He's like, yeah. I'm like, I didn't know you were going down there. He's like, man, listen, I can't miss this. We haven't had this in so long. I got to go down there and just have fun.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that's what's up, man. And so it doesn't shock me to hear fans traveling from all over the place to get to
You know who'll be there? And I just found out my son Mark just sent me this. No, he's not going.
Oh, okay.
No, but he wanted me to know that the anthem on Sunday is going to be sung by Susan Tedeschi. You know who she is? Tedeschi Trucks Band. Mm. Great, great blues band. Tedeschi Trucks. Derek Trucks is her husband, and the band is named after him. He's a descendant of some of the Allman Brothers. Great. You've heard of the Allman Brothers.
I've heard of them, but not the...
So the band is great. Susan Tedeschi, they're both Jaguars fans, so good for them. They're Jacksonville area natives. Yeah. But Susan Tedeschi is singing the national anthem.
Wow.
When our man Matt, who just called from Jacksonville, is going to be out there holding the flag.
Holding the flag.
The anthem will be too tight. But they got to show up early to practice.
So you might be there at the same time.
I might introduce myself.
I know you like to sometimes make your way down there to introduce yourself.
I might introduce myself to Susan Tedeschi. Maybe Derek Trucks will be there as well. She's doing the national anthem. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, they might as well come out and do a duet.
All right, Susan, you take the high parts. All right, we're going to take a break. Stick around. We got more coming from One Bills Drive, the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hey, this is Bill Fichtner from Chickawaga, New York. So what are you going to do this Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time? What's that? You're going to watch a little football? What kind of football? Buffalo Bills football. That's right, babe. NFL playoffs right here in the man cave. Check that out right there. See that? That's the French Connection, baby. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And obviously, energized Bill Fichtner.
I need to talk to him.
Oh, he's a funny guy. You've met him. I've met him. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
He was ready. Where do you think he's doing today? I mean, if he's like that a couple of days ago.
He didn't wake up yet. From right after he did that video, he went to sleep.
Good guy. All right, we're talking about this game. What has to happen? Your thoughts on the game? We've got a few minutes left here. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550, or you can do it via Twitter at John Murphy Show. Rudy in Rochester has some thoughts, and more on special teams, Rudy, right? You think that's the key? Hello, Rudy.
Minutes ago, I've been on hold for a while, but
yes.
I was going to mention the thing about Brandon Tate. I've kind of been waiting for that all season, you know what I mean? And I know the special teams look pretty good on paper, but I attribute a lot of that to the kicking game. The kicking game has been stellar this year, both punting and kickoffs and field goals with Hauschka. But also, John, I'd like to ask you a quick question, too. I'm going to put you on the spot. You've kind of told that story about the late, great Van Miller twice this week. And when you talk to him on Wild Card Saturday with the ice jingling in his glass, I'm just curious if you know what's in that glass. Drink a drink on Wild Card Saturday and toast Van Miller.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a really good. I wish I could join you, but I'm going to be tied up. I know it was in my glass, and I had ice tinkling as well. No, to be honest, I'm trying to think. It was vodka gimlets. Van was a gimlet guy, vodka gimlet guy.
All right.
You know what those are?
Know what to mix up.
No, I'll tell you. Yeah, it's you know how to make it. Two parts vodka, one part Rose's lime juice. Squeeze a little lime in there. Can you tell I'm a former bartender?
Yeah.
That was when you first started on radio, you were making.
I was making $75 a week. I had to support my radio habit.
Something.
Yeah, I'm like Ted Baxter. When I started out, I had to work in it. No, vodka gimlets was Van's drink of choice, and I never asked him because I just kind of knew on Wild Card Sunday when I heard that the ice cubes tinkling. That's what was going on at that end.
Now,
of the phone.
When he would call you. Did it make you, if you didn't have a glass in your hand, did it make you like, let me go get a glass? Because I can hear his in the background.
I don't think that was ever the case. I think I usually had a glass in my hand. We were bummed. I mean, it was Wild Card Saturday. It was halftime. So it's like, what, 4, 5, 6 in the afternoon? We're like, why? Why them and not us? Yeah. Why? You know, and you'd see these teams in the Wild Card game, and you're like, are they better than the Bills?
I'm telling you, because you watch some teams in Wild Card weekend, and you're like, how did they make the playoffs?
Don't you think they're going to be saying that in Baltimore on Sunday?
Yes, right. They will be saying that
right?
in Baltimore.
Like, or man, in Los Angeles, if Chargers fans.
Especially the Chargers.
Yeah.
After they put on that performance against us.
We beat them
We beat them, right.
And we're sitting here?
We're sitting here watching them play in the playoffs? Yeah. Sorry, L.A., it kind of happens like that.
Let's go to Chris in Miami. Hello, Chris. You're on the air.
Hey. Hey, thanks for having me, John and Donald.
Sure.
Speaking with you. I would like to say that I think the defensive tackling is key. Of course, it's always key, but it's definitely, especially in this game. Mm-hmm. But the point of my call, I just want to say, man, y'all been giving Tyrod such a hard time, and I feel like he's more than capable of being a productive quarterback. I mean, he's shown that time and time again. And if you look at the stats with Dak Prescott and Tyrod in the last 2 years, Tyrod might be a little better than him, but don't get those results. Minus the receivers, minus the tight ends, minus the superstar line, the Pro Bowl line, you know. I just think, Tyrod, you can ease up on it a little bit. He got something to show us this weekend.
Okay. I don't think we have been giving Tyrod a hard time, but I hear what you're saying. Many fans have.
I mean, I've given him a little hard time over the course of a season. But, hey, when you play quarterback, that's what happens. You get the hard time. And when you play in the league, period. I mean, people criticize you when they feel like you're not playing well. They criticize you, or they're right behind you when they feel like you do something right. That's just the nature of the business. But on another note, I know you're about to get into this Patriots stuff. ECMC today is holding a rally with the patients, and they posted a video. It's great, man. It's great to see all the patients in the hospital and people cool. jumping around with them. It's like – patients in the hospital can actually have a happy moment right now, you know, instead of just being in there sick and all of that. I know what that's like, being a patient in the hospital for a good amount of time and really nothing to cheer about. So for right now, at least for right now, they have something to cheer about.
It's been great to see all the reaction from folks all over Western New York, and I'm sure it's going to only pick up over the next couple of days before kickoff. We haven't talked about this. We got about 2 minutes to talk about this, unfortunately. If the Bills win, you know the drill. If the Bills win, they would go to New England. To play the Patriots for the third time. That would actually, I didn't realize this, it would be 8:15 on Saturday night in Foxborough if the Bills win. If they go to New England, what kind of a team are they going up against? There's a really interesting report, got a ton of play on ESPN today, a report written on ESPN.com by Seth Wickersham, who talks about, could this be the beginning of the end for the Patriots, for Kraft, Brady, and Belichick? He says the Patriots are in uncharted territory, and there's a difference of opinion on Brady's trainer, on what they did with Jimmy Garoppolo. Pretty extensive report, and I looked it over quickly today before we went on the air. It sounds like there's some serious differences of opinion there between Brady and Belichick and Robert Kraft about the future of the franchise, where they go from here. That bears watching.
It's crazy, right? Because, I mean, you have a team that first round bye. This is really all they have to do right now is worry about this stuff. Next week, put it all to bed. We got a game to worry about. This week, since we're going to be watching all the rest of the teams, let's talk about this right now. I got something to talk to you about.
But I don't think it's just as a this week thing. I told you when I came back from New England Christmas Eve, I was telling you and I guess Brownie about conversations I had with Patriots people about the serious rift between Bill Belichick and Bob Kraft about Garoppolo. And apparently Belichick wanted to keep Garoppolo. Kraft insisted that they go next year into the future with Tom Brady, essentially forcing Belichick to trade away Garoppolo. And there's a big problem out there. And frankly, I love it.
Because for the longest time, and this is the first time we're hearing something like this, because for the longest time it was like Bill Belichick has the reins, free reins to this team. And he can make decisions that he wants to make based on what he feels is best for the team. Now you're hearing a little something different, you know, with the quarterback situation. But I tell you this, I understand Tom Brady is Tom Brady, but this might come back to haunt them, you know, because Garoppolo is looking like a quarterback that could have stayed in that system and really been a quarterback to continue to take that team into the playoffs if they had the right weapons around him. But now that they've decided to stick with Tom Brady, I don't care how long he thinks he's going to play, your body does wear down at some point. Yeah. You can't play forever. You know, when you got a young Garoppolo, now that you traded away because the owner is like his second son, you know, that's a tough move. So now you really got to wonder, when Brady retires, does Belichick just say, you know what, forget it, I'm out?
Yeah. I mean, look, over the years, all of us have looked for the sign that it's over for the Patriots. And I, for one, several people have been wrong, you know. So I'm not ready to throw dirt on them yet.
No, I mean,
I love the fact that, you know, the bickering Patriots now.
The bickering Patriots.
It's kind of cool to have that happening down there.
It's crazy, though, because they've used so many different things in the past to, like, go on and just blow teams out.
Yep.
And go on and win Super Bowls. And this could be something now where it's like, oh, all of these reports that we were bickering, and now, look, we just flew through the playoffs and won another Super Bowl. So, yeah, you don't want to throw too much dirt on them.
No, not yet. But maybe, soon.
Maybe. Next week.
Yeah. A break here. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
What have we learned? Presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. We had Mike Mayock on the show, the NFL Network draft guru. He is also a color analyst on the Westwood One radio network, and he'll be calling the game on the national radio this Sunday, the Bills and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mayock said he's always been a big fan of Bills head coach Sean McDermott.
I'm a big fan of your head coach, Sean McDermott. I grew up in Philadelphia. My dad was a high school football coach in the Philly area. I've seen Sean McDermott for a long time. You know, he coached with the Eagles for about 12 years, I believe.
Yep.
And, you know, I watched him closely in Carolina. So I think he's a guy that has a plan. He's always had a really calm confidence about himself. He's got a plan. I think he's really honest with his coaches and his players. And even though he's pretty much a tough guy because he's so honest, I think that transcends everything else. And I think what you see is a really sound, well-coached, fundamental football team.
Mike Mayock on Bills head coach Sean McDermott. We also heard from Chris Berman today, the ESPN guy who's been around, a big Bills fan for several years. Chris Berman had some thoughts on how the Bills have built the foundation for a new era of solid football.
I think there's going to be a pretty good foundation there, and I like it. I like it. There's a lot of pluses on this team, as you know. And who? Kyle Williams and Eric Wood, that photo. I mean, or that scene, which you probably were in there, Murph, or Donald. I don't know if you were down in Miami. I mean, that's really cool. I know both of those guys, and they embody the Bills of the past, even though obviously they didn't play with those teams. But they kind of are. They embody the we're going to keep trying 100% anyway.
Chris Berman, in a roundabout way, talking about how much he likes that Bills team. Well, the injury report came out in the last hour or so for the Bills. The only one confirmed out, cornerback Sharice Wright, with his concussion. He will not play. He's been ruled out of the game. Several players questionable, including LeSean McCoy with his ankle. McCoy limited work in practice today. Linebacker Matt Milano has not practiced all week with his hamstring. He is also listed as questionable. Right tackle Jordan Mills listed as questionable with his ankle. Deontay Thompson questionable with a shoulder. Thompson with limited work today. And Joe Webb, quarterback, wide receiver, listed as questionable with his ankle. Calvin Benjamin should be, he is also ready to go. He is not on the injury list. So there you go, the Bills injury list. Our Twitter poll today dealt with the Bills, and should they come out of Jacksonville with a victory on Sunday, what do you think the factor would be? Which position group would play the biggest role in the Bills coming out victorious on Sunday? Most of you, 45% of you, say it's the play of the defensive front against Leonard Fournette. 26% of you say it's the offensive line. 22% say defensive back. 7% say something else. Donald, I think they can do this. They're going to have to run it. Obviously, McCoy's Fitness will be a big issue in this game. If he's, I don't think there's no way he's going to be 100%, but if he's near 100%, that's a big boost for the Bills. But I do believe the key to the game is kind of keeping Leonard Fournette in check, forcing the Jaguars to throw the football, maybe taking advantage of a couple of takeaways there.
Yeah, that's the key, how healthy he is. But honestly, regardless of how healthy he is, you need Marcus Murphy. It's time to go.
Yeah.
And we had Greg Cosell on, and he talked about this kid has some juice. We know he's fast from talking to him, from talking to E.J. Gaines, who went to school with him. So, you know, and he showed us something in that last game. So maybe for one game, look, it's time to go. It's time to get it going, catch the ball out of the backfield. Defense, got to step it up, got to tackle this game. That's a big part. You have to tackle Leonard Fournette.
E.J. Gaines, who you just mentioned, is one of the better tacklers on the roster. I'm glad that he's healthy, glad that he's back in there. They need him to stay healthy. They need him for pass defense. But run support and just bringing guys down. Gaines has done a great job all season long of bringing guys down.
Yeah, I think that's the main reason why. Obviously, he fits into the system and what they want to do coverage-wise. But the fact that he tackles is why they brought him here. The fact that Tre'Davious tackles is why they drafted him. And they're so comfortable with having those guys play opposite of each other. I'm looking forward to this game.
Oh, me too. And you're handling the Bills Tonight Show, right, on MSG 1130 on Sunday?
I will be there. We'll be square.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, you should. 1130, Donald Jones and Brian Duff with Bills Tonight. Want to thank our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Production assistance from J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Olivia Merrill, Shelby Rush, our producer, Jay Harris. Have a great weekend, everybody. Stay warm. Get ready for the Bills in the playoffs for the first time since 1999 season. Looking forward to that. We'll see you Monday with the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.